the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is a pretty happy Monday here at One Bills Drive. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio at One Bills Drive. Happy to have you in the audience, and welcome. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to chew on today. For a game that was derided, Donald, beforehand by, you know, people saying, well, this is the worst game on the schedule this week, and this is going to be a terrible game to watch. Turned out to be, I think, a pretty interesting game to watch. You saw it. I think it was, there was a lot going on for the Bills, obviously, against the Jets team that clearly is not very good. But I think the Bills did what they had to do and did it quite efficiently and pretty well yesterday.
I think they did what was expected of them. That was run the ball, you know, and I think that's how they're going to have to play. If they want to win games this year, they're going to have to run the ball. Obviously, you need to be able to throw the ball, but that is their bread and butter, being able to run the ball. And for me, running the ball against that Jets front, the defensive front, which is a strong point of their team, is a good sign to run it how effectively they did yesterday. So that's a good sign for this team.
They ran the ball and they stopped the run, and that is a good sign for me as well. And I look at it in turn. I know we all feel the same way about preseason. Doesn't really the results don't matter, but the defense that the Bills showed in preseason, the outstanding run defense, the overall good defensive play, carried over into the first regular season game. And that, to me, is an extremely, extremely positive development. I really think it is, because that's the kind of defense that will work in conjunction with the running game that you talk about, Donald. I think it's the kind of defense they're going to need to play on a regular basis. Quite frankly, the kind of defense that would have put them in the playoffs at least once in the last couple of years if they had played that well defensively. So, to me, that's a really good sign as well. How well they played defense, how well they tackled. I mean, you know, Sean McDermott has said this a couple times about how they have to rely on the fundamentals, especially in the early going here, as they get to know each other as a team. The fundamentals include tackling, and if there was one or two missed tackles by the Bills defense yesterday, that was it to my eye. I watched the game over again today. They were extremely good at tackling. Always, it seemed, in the right place at the right time. Very few defensive breakdowns. To me, that might be the most encouraging thing about what went down here in Orchard Park yesterday.
And we know, you know, in the summer, back in training camp, they made this big emphasis on getting the ball out. And they brought in Peanut Tillman. Usually when you have a team that is trying to get the ball out, and that's one of the biggest goals, get the ball out, get the ball out. And you could see it yesterday, guys ripping at the ball. You'll have teams that will miss tackles because they are trying to get the ball out. They will miss those tackles. But yesterday you had good team defense, good team tackling, where you would have one guy hold him up, and then the next guy is coming in is ripping at the ball. You know, while he's still up, he's ripping at the ball. So I think they were flying around yesterday, especially in the run game. They were definitely flying around, and it was good to see the guys make tackles. Last year we didn't see that out of this defense. Those guys were not making tackles consistently, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, you hate to – I mean, all we have to do is compare to last year. And last year it seemed like they had the potential to be a big play defense, but they were just unsound very often and undisciplined and didn't make tackles. And that was not the case yesterday.
That was definitely not the case yesterday. You know, the fact that you – I guess you make the defense a little more simple. Guys know what they're doing. You can tell out there on the field. You can tell by how fast they're flying around. You know, a guy doesn't have to think that much. He can just fly around and make plays. And that's what they were doing yesterday, even one-on-one tackling. When you see a team actually making one-on-one tackles in open field, that is a good thing. That means you have a fundamentally sound defense, a fundamentally sound team, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Well, there is, as we said, an awful lot to talk about, and we're going to talk about it with you over the next 3 hours with a pretty good lineup of guests. We await the arrival of safety Jordan Poyer, one of the heroes of that Buffalo defense, scheduled to join us in the next couple of minutes here if he can work it into his schedule. Yes, the Bills players are working here today on this Victory Monday. They have a lot of film review and some conditioning work, and we hope to get Jordan Poyer in the studio in a couple of minutes to talk about that. 1 o'clock, Sean McDermott's news conference with the media. We will carry it live for you. You can watch it and listen to it on the radio. 2 o'clock, Bills insider Chris Brown joins us in studio to break down in depth some of what went on yesterday. Plus, we've got our game rewind We're going to do a trip around the locker room, some of the sound from yesterday's postgame locker room, our game rewind with some of the highlights, the radio calls of yesterday's game. There's a lot to do here today, and we are going to start it also with our Twitter poll, which deals with yesterday's game. We want to know from you about yesterday's game, about what you were most happy with, what you saw in yesterday's game. What pleased you the most about Buffalo's 21-12? What did you like the most about Sunday's win over the New York Jets? And a couple of options for you. On our Twitter poll, the run defense, which we just talked about, 42% of you in the early polling say run defense was what you like best. The run offense, only 15% of you like that, and it was a pretty good day for Shady McCoy in the run offense and the offensive line. 35% of you say the contributions from new players like Mike Tolbert, like Jordan Poyer, like Micah Hyde. I mean, you know, it's only 22 players returning from last year, so there are plenty of new players to look at as contributors. 8% had something else in mind. What did you like most from yesterday's game? And did you see something you didn't like? We'll entertain those calls as well. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. What did you like most from the Bills' win over the New York Jets? I'm surprised that not more are saying run offense, Donald, because as you pointed out, the way that McCoy ran the ball, and for me, the way the offensive line blocked, and it's a brand new scheme, you know, offensively, a zone blocking scheme, and they, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of production from the offense in preseason. They looked ready to go and looked dominant up front. I thought extremely dominant as far as what they were able to do, and it appeared to me that especially McCoy and to a lesser extent Mike Tolbert were able to take advantage of the way the offensive line was blocking yesterday. It was really quite impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was impressive, number one, against that defensive front, which is a very strong defensive front that the Jets have. But the way they the way they were able to run the ball yesterday was impressive. And that's LeSean McCoy, starting with him, what he was able to do. He looks like he's in midseason form, you know, and that's good to see. Hopefully he can maintain this for an entire season. If he can do that, this offense will be good. But if this offensive line continues to block like they did yesterday, he'll be able to find creases, and we know what he does once he can find creases. Mike Tolbert yesterday, he contributed as well. You know, he broke a couple of long runs, or I guess, you know, some good runs off. He caught a couple of passes out of the backfield, I think. And then Tyrod, obviously, he helps out with his ability to run as well. He's picking up first downs and different things for this offense. So, yeah, the way they were able to run the ball was impressive yesterday. It was really what I expected out of this offense, though. For me, if in terms of this Twitter poll, I think I would have to go with the contributions from the new players. You know,
really?
Guys like Micah Hyde, guys like Jordan Poyer, guys like, even on the offensive side, guys like Deion Dawkins, who had to actually rotate in with Cordy Glenn yesterday, you know, and he held his own. You know, these new guys like Mike Tolbert, these new guys, Jordan Matthews, to come out with a couple of big catches and break some runs off. Zay Jones with a good catch in the middle of the field. I mean, these new guys are making plays, and I like to see that.
803-0550, the number to call, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let us know what you thought about yesterday's game, what you liked in yesterday's game. Let me ask you about the workload for Shady McCoy. He had, 27 touches, right? 5 pass receptions, 22 runs. He was on the field 70% of the time. Got 54 snaps yesterday. Mike Tolbert got 23. I know they want to use him. I know he's the workhorse. He's the bell cow. Where do we get to the point where, be careful, he's 29 years old?
Yeah.
Did we approach that yesterday?
You know, I was, when watching the game yesterday, there got to be a point in the game, especially in the fourth quarter, where it was like, man, I wonder if they're going to pull him out sometime soon here, you know, because you're trying to eat the clock up. And, you know, I would have thought they would have had in Tolbert and Joe Banyard even, you know, at the end of the game. Just try to eat up the clock, let those guys run hard and get those tough yards and eat the clock up, especially when the team knows you're going to run the ball and you still have Shady. And I think you do run that risk, but that's how they're going to have to win games. So I think that's how they're looking at it. Look, we have to feed this guy. We have to feed this guy. And we know how Shady McCoy plays. He doesn't take too many big hits, and as long as he can continue to play like that, I think he'll be okay.
Let us know what you think. What did you like about Buffalo's performance yesterday? If you had something you didn't like, we'll entertain that as well. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550, the number. Let's start with Jamar in Buffalo. Hello, Jamar. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing? Donald, John?
Good.
Doing great. Thank you.
Man, I love the performance yesterday. I really, you know, I called you guys earlier this summer, and I said that, you know, I really thought, you know, I call it the Terrell Davis run block scheme, because I feel like, you know, if he can go to Hall of Fame, you know, a few years in it, you know, maybe not a few, maybe 5 or 6 years in the offense, I believe, like, Shady is, you know, on those levels of those upper echelon running backs, man. And I believe that, you know, in this scheme, he's going to, man, I'm thinking 2,000 yards. I might be going, you know, a little too far, but I'm thinking 2,000 total, or, you know, 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing. And also, Tyrod, man, he looked so poised, man. You know, and I know everybody like Peterman, and I like Peterman too, but I just feel like, you know, it's the Aaron Rodgers situation. He should sit down and wait, learn the defenses, and let Tyrod do his thing, man, because Tyrod is ready. He's been primed and put in this position for a reason, and I really, really believe in him in this year three. I believe it's year three. That he's going to do great things in the defense. Oh, man, please. That's an all-year thing, man. We back home in the 4-3. It's an all-year thing. We're going to do great. We're going to the playoffs again. Believe it.
Okay, thanks, Jamar. All fired up. Jamar is
definitely
all fired up.
Yeah, this zone running scheme, I think it truly does fit what Shady likes to do, and that's really see what everybody's doing up there in the offense and hit that crack and go, you know. And I think if they can continue to run the ball effectively like they did yesterday and they can make those holes, Shady will be fine. I don't know about 2,000 yards is a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't know if he'll get that. I mean, I hope he does, you know. I don't know if he – whew, that's a lot. Tyrod did play yesterday.
Yeah, let's talk about Tyrod. He had an interesting day. And when I went back and watched the game over on tape this morning, I thought he played better than I thought he did in the moment. Mm-hmm. But there were some missed throws. There were some late throws, like some of the things that we've seen from Tyrod in the past. There also were some throws right on the money and some pinpoint passes right on the money. And I like that. I also, you know, I think we kind of – some elements of the fan base look at his running production as – either not a factor or not what you want. But, you know, when you're trying to win games, which is the object here, and you've got third and longs and you have a quarterback who can take off and pick up first downs with his feet, that's a weapon. That's a weapon that a lot of teams don't have, that, you know, that unaccounted for quarterback who can pick up first downs with his feet. That both, you know, he had two longish third down runs yesterday that led to scores, led to touchdowns. That's critical, I think, in any game, and it was yesterday. And I don't want to just immediately dismiss that as, well, you know, he's not a real quarterback. Well, you know what? He is a real quarterback, and those yards, those first down pickups matter. And, oh, by the way, the Bills were outstanding on third downs yesterday, you know, and that was not their forte last year. I got the numbers in front of me. The 57% third down conversion rate, or I'm sorry, 47% third down conversion rate, 8 of 17, that's pretty good. And you can win a lot if you're converting first downs at that clip.
That is a very good, especially if you're a team that, and your defense is playing well, you want your defense to continue to play well. So we talked about this last week. If you want your defense to play well on offense, you need to be able to stay on the field and sustain long drives so that those guys can rest on the side and you won't have to rotate, especially up front, which is the meat and potatoes of your defense and how they want to get to the quarterback and everything. You won't have to rotate as much if your offense can stay on the field. So, yeah, I think Tyrod played well yesterday. He did a very good job in picking up those third down situations with his feet. He also was able to throw the ball. And the most impressive thing for me was – he threw the ball not just over the middle of the field, but he threw it in some traffic, you know, and that's something that we didn't see too much out of him last year. Now, yeah, he did miss some guys. He did, you know, put it on Charles Clay's back shoulder and things like that. Charles Clay knows that he still has to make that play in the end zone. But for the first game of the season, I think they played well. I think Tyrod did play well yesterday. He made some throws over the middle of the field that he wouldn't have made last year in traffic, like the one of Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews came up with a big catch, but I don't see Tyrod making that throw last year, you know. So it was impressive for me to just see him make those throws. If he can continue to make those throws, then teams have to play him honest, you know, because what will happen is they're always going to have to put somebody on to spy Tyrod Taylor, and that takes one person out of your coverage, you know, because he's paying attention directly to Tyrod Taylor, and now Tyrod is rolling and he looks like he's going to run. You have someone just following him assigned. You follow Tyrod Taylor. That's one less person in coverage. Now you keep your eyes down the field and you make a throw.
Third quarter, the 47-yard pass to Jordan Matthews. Tyrod just zipped it through coverage right over the middle. That's supposed to be the pass that he cannot make, according to his many critics. And he made it to Jordan Matthews, and it was a really big play, 47 yards. The touchdown pass in the second quarter to Charles Clay, he put it right on the money to Charles Clay. It was a one-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Clay came out of the slot, and it was an interesting – I thought they showed a lot of offensive imagination in the red zone punching it in. That play with Shady split out wide to the right and Charles Clay in the slot right side. You can't ignore either one of them down there.
You can't.
And the other touchdown the other end to Andre Holmes. I mean, to line him up as a wing back on the right, he comes. It was a great play fake. He comes across the entire formation, and he's wide open. And, by the way, here's another Tyrod thing about his performance yesterday, something that it was really I knew it was going on, but when I watched it on tape today, it was reinforced. Great ball fakes by Tyrod Taylor yesterday. And we know that they plan on doing a lot of play action. Great ball fakes by Tyrod for the most part yesterday.
And that's what happens when you're running the ball effectively. If you're running the ball effectively, the rest of that stuff opens up, you know, and the play action will open up. And as long as he has some great ball fakes, well, now it's like you have a quarterback who can actually run. So if you're running the ball, the linebackers have to pay attention to LeSean McCoy. They have to. They just have to play it honest. They have to attack the line. When they think he's going to get it, oh, it's going to Shady. And the next thing you know, Tyrod's rolling out the other side, and you have a flood concept or you have a deep over like we saw to Charles Clay yesterday. I think, yeah, like you said, the imagination from the offensive coordinator yesterday was good, and I think you're going to need that, especially, you know, one of the things that people are going to talk about when they, you know, one of the negatives to the game yesterday was you weren't going down the field enough. You weren't going down the field enough. But I think this team was doing enough. They were doing so many different motions and shifts and hiding a guy like Andre Holmes. If you can continue to do things like that, you can score points.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you still win games that way, you know. So you got to figure out ways to win games. If you don't have a true deep threat, well, now you figure out a different way to win games, and that's what they did yesterday.
Let's hear from you. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Rick calling from Tonawanda. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Hello, John. You know, about yesterday's game, I thought the Bills played pretty well. At the same time, they could have used a better pass rush, you know, and I think put more pressure on McCown. The times they did have a pass rush, they had three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I think those times that they had the interception, there was a noticeable pass rush. And basically, that's all I had to say.
Okay. You know, the Jets were dinking and dunking. It seemed like that was there. You talk about the Bills not having anything deep. The Jets really didn't have anything deep. Maybe didn't have the capability to go deep. And so it's going to be difficult to mount a consistent pass rush. But you're right about this, Rick. The pressure, I think, directly resulted in the two interceptions. Both the Micah Hyde, where you know, Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander ran a tremendous like game stunt up front, and even on the earlier interception from Jordan Poyer, again created by pressure. I think you know, that was Jerry Hughes and Lorenzo Alexander flushing Josh McCown out of the pocket. I think the pressure was timely. You know, it's not going to be an all-out blitz all the time. And I think they noticed that when the Jets set up to throw deep, they had a lot of heat on Josh McCown, I think. Could they get more? Sure.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, you can always get more pressure on the quarterbacks. And you're going to need to get more pressure on the quarterbacks, especially as we get into this schedule of very good quarterbacks that we're going to play here coming up this week. You know, so you're going to need to be able to get pressure. But I think yesterday, you know, they got some pressure and they created some turnovers. Do you want to see just pressure from the front four? Yeah, you want to see that a lot more, where you don't have to necessarily blitz. And I think they're going to do an even better job the weeks coming up of just creating different stunts and different things with those guys up front, so that, you know, Jerry and Shaq and those boys, Kyle and even, you know, Marcel, Adolphus, all of those boys can make plays on the quarterback without having to send blitzes. I think they'll be okay up front.
803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Here's Jimmy in North Tonawanda. Hello, Jimmy. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good.
Hey, let me tell you, you know, 2 points. Now, I drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago. Every year I always think, oh, we're going to make the playoffs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this year I really felt different. And when I saw McDermott in the parking lot at the Bills game, though, just the way he acted, and he's a confident man. And then I hear people yesterday complaining, well, Darius only played so many downs. You know, I don't want him out there for every down. I want him explosive for two or three downs and out there for, you know, as many as he can handle and do that. You know, he was used appropriately. There's really, I can't even make a serious criticism about the team, because it is still the New York Jets. I don't care what they put in front of you, you know, in the past. I mean, even before the 17-year downfall. You know, it's the Jets. In any given day in this division, any team can beat anybody, and we all know that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. As far as Marcell Dareus, he played 34 snaps, 59% of the snaps, the lowest percentage of any of the starters on the defensive line. Kyle Williams played 74% of the snaps, and he got the most of them. Shaq Lawson, 64% of the snaps. So Lawson had three more snaps than Dareus. Look, they appear to want to have a really serious, healthy rotation of defensive linemen. There was at one point in the third quarter, Donald, when I thought, you know, I was looking down there and seeing Kyle on the sidelines, Marcell on the sidelines, Jerry Hughes on the sidelines, and the Jets started moving the ball, and I thought, okay, come on, let's get some of these regulars back in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't argue with their success, I guess. You know, they limited the Jets to just one touchdown, but they appear to want to have a healthy defensive line. The Dareus thing, I think it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on in the weeks ahead and see if he continues to have that sort of time on the field. What did they say, 59% of the time on the field?
You know, I don't know if he's, you know, dealing with still some injury from the preseason or whatever the deal is, but I do think that they are really going to rotate those guys, you know. And I think, for me, I'd rather them rotate, you know, staggered and not, like, rotate the entire front four off at the same time. But if that's their plan, that's their plan. And it worked out yesterday, you know, and we'll see how it works out in the weeks coming. But I do know that the backups made plays in the preseason, you know. So I think they trust the backups to be able to come in and still make plays for this defense. And I think they're going to prove that here in the upcoming weeks.
803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. What did you like from yesterday's game? What you did not like? We're welcome to discuss that with you at 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Jack calling from Niagara Falls. Hello, Jack.
Hey, guys.
What's
I'm
up?
The show. I just wanted to comment on the coaching staff. I really love how you guys were making good calls. I think everyone was kind of down about how we were making, run plays on 3rd and 21. And I think that's just smart play calling. I really appreciate that, you know, they were not making bonehead calls and putting us in bad positions where we can, you know, throw picks and or hurt our players or anything like that. And I like the play calling, and I thought that that's exactly what we needed to do because to kind of feed off what a previous caller was talking about is anybody can win in this league. It's an NFL team. You got to play your hardest for any team. And,
yeah,
and
right.
People like to think that the Jets are subpar team, but you know they're in our division, and we got to play them as just as tough as anybody else. So
yeah,
I'll let you guys talk about that. That's about it.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. So you, Jack, and the last caller, when you guys talk about anybody can win in this league, look, you get the teams that are on your schedule. That's all you get, you know. So the Jets, guess what? The Patriots at the end of the year, you know, they'll play the Jets twice. Maybe they win one. Maybe they win both. Who knows? Maybe they lose both. Miami.
When the Patriots are done, let's face it, they're going to have, what, 11, 12, 13 wins?
Mm-hmm.
Two of those wins are likely to be against the Jets.
Right.
Are we going to look at those and say, well, those don't count. It was only the Jets. Of course not. You're going to say, oh, the Patriots won 12 games again.
Exactly. They won
and when
12
the
Bills
season is over, they've got at least one. Maybe they get two wins against the Jets. Those wins count also.
And that's just it's on your schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – it's
I mean,
a win.
The Colts look bad. Do we already say, well, that's not going to count. The Bills should beat the Colts. They should beat it by two touchdowns. I mean, you
right.
know, you play who's there in front of you.
Exactly, and that's what you have to do. You have to you're going to play some teams that might not be as good. You're going to play some teams that are better. You got to win both. You know, you got to beat the teams that are good. You got to beat the teams that aren't good. But the one thing that you guys talked about is, you know, good teams in this league – find ways to win games. And we in the preseason when they traded away Sammy, everybody said, how are we going to win games? You don't have a deep threat anymore. You got to be able to throw the ball deep. This team, and I said this last week, these wins that they will get might not always be pretty wins because they're running the ball. And running the ball, it's not pretty. You know, you'll have a lot of bad plays that seem to be bad plays, and then you'll break a couple of long ones, and they end up touchdowns. So it might not be pretty wins. But this team will win games playing like they did yesterday, and that's running the ball effectively, playing sound run defense, being able to slow teams down through the air because you're not going to just shut teams down. But if you can slow them down through the air, play good sound run defense, create turnovers, That's how this team, the 2017 Buffalo Bills, will have to win games. And if they do what they did yesterday, whether it's against the Jets, whether it's against the Panthers, the Patriots, it doesn't matter. If they do what they did yesterday, they will win games.
Here's Sean in Kenmore. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, John? What up, DJ?
What's up?
Quick question. Not question, but statement. I think Shady McCoy did a great job yesterday, but I'm more concerned about the backup. I don't think Tolbert did bad, but I don't think you're going to last through the whole season running like that. So if we can find depth in the backup position or backup running position, I think we should go that route.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, we talked a little bit, Sean, about the workload on McCoy and how long that could last. I find Tolbert intriguing, you know, and he's a definite changeup from LeSean McCoy. I was listening while I watched this morning to the CBS broadcast and listened to Rich Gannon talk about the contrast in styles and how difficult that would be to defend if you're used to, you know, trying to keep an eye on Shady McCoy and all of a sudden the Toldozer is in there. I'd like to see them not use Tolbert running to the outside maybe as much as they tried to yesterday. I don't think that works, and I don't think that's his forte, but yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much work Tolbert gets in conjunction with Shady and whether he, in fact, can, you know, be the guy to back him up in terms of, you know, the number two running back on the roster. Tolbert in there yesterday for 23 snaps, 30% of the snaps.
You know, yesterday, I don't know if some of those plays were designed to go outside or inside. I would like to see them run inside more with Tolbert as well. I think that's his game. I even like the way he came out of the backfield and caught that pass, you know, over the middle of the field. You know, I think that's his game as well. But stretch and things like that, that's not really his game. Let him go ahead and pound it up in there and get those tough yards. I think, you know, they're going to have to be creative with Shady. You know, you're going to run the ball with him, definitely, but you're going to pass – you have to pass it to him as well. You know, you have to use Shady. You just – you have to. He's just too big of a weapon for this team to not use him. For me, I would like to see him in the slot, outside a little bit, you know. And you line Shady up outside. Well, who's covering him now? Is it a linebacker on him? They can't cover Shady,
right,
you know. So I think if you can just be creative in the way that you're using Shady, he'll be fine. Mike Tolbert, use him in the middle, short yardage, different things like that. I would even like to see Joe Banyard get some touches as well throughout the course of the game.
I think you got all special team snaps.
Yeah, that's all he got.
What do you think? You were eager all season, all off season, to look at Mike Tolbert's touchdown celebration.
What
do you think?
Yeah, I think he did a good job yesterday.
A little subdued?
It was a little subdued. You know, I think these guys are still trying to get used to what am I going to get flagged for?
I don't think he even got close to getting penalized.
No, he didn't. Did you see? So he did his dance, and then they went over and he dunked it. I was just talking to him like maybe 20 minutes before we came on air about it. So I'm like, hey, man, you going am I going to see the same thing every week or you got something different? He's like, I got something different for you every time I score.
Sure?
He was like, did you see the dunk? And on TV, because I was at home watching on TV, he ran over to Jordan Matthews and he dunked it. Jordan Matthews was standing there with, like, he made, like, a hoop with his arms.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think he can get up to the crossbar.
No, Jordan Matthews was standing over there with the hoop that he made with his arms, and Tolbert ran over and dunked the ball in his arms, you know. So he was like, hey, man, we're going to have some fun out there. Just keep watching.
Hey, Bills fans, once again this season, your voice counts, your vote counts. Don't forget to vote for the Bills Player of the Week. It is powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills. Voting is open, and it opens after each Bills game the Monday after. The winning player will be announced here on the show on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon, rather. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com or /POTW or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. The Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week. Four nominees this week. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor, running back LeSean McCoy, tight end Charles Clay, safety Jordan Poyer. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW to vote for the Blue Rock Energy Bills Player of the Week. We'll announce the winner on tomorrow's show. More to come on our show here today, including your thoughts on what you like best in yesterday's game, maybe what you'd like to see the Bills do better. Phone lines open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
More of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Crowd roaring. Here's the snap. Bills rush for it. McCown's in trouble. Jerry Hughes almost has him. He gets the pass away, and it is intercepted down at the 23-yard line. It is picked up. A jump ball down the far sideline. Jordan Poyer came over there. He came up with it.
And that is the advanced alarm defensive play of the game from yesterday's game with Jordan Poyer's interception. We were hoping to get Jordan on the show, but they are in meetings now at 12:30. Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. That's one of the options we have for folks to vote on as far as what you like most about the game, the contributions of the new guys. Poyer gets an interception. Micah Hyde gets an interception. Mike Tolbert finds the end zone and has a lot of carries. I guess you'd expect Andre Holmes scores a touch. On a roster with tremendous turnover, 22 players returning from last year, you would expect some big contributions, but they exceeded my expectations, what the new guys did yesterday.
Here's the biggest thing, and Steve Tasker talked about this. Chris Brown talked about this. I've talked about this. You've talked about this. We've all talked about this. It's going to take a couple of weeks for this team to really gel together, and I don't care how much they play together in training camp. You have so many new faces on the team. It takes true live game action to gel together. It takes certain situations where you might be playing bad and you have to actually pull something out at the end of the game to gel together. You know, so yesterday it was what I expected. They played well against the Jets. They did what they needed to do to win games, but there are still game situations that they have to go through with these new faces all playing together to be able to gel together so that they know, hey, man, I know we're in this situation, but so-and-so is going to come up with the play, you know, or I know that they trust me to come up with the play and I'm going to make a play, you know. So I think it's this first month of the season, you're going to have to let these guys kind of gel together, you know, and the games might not be pretty. It really might not be pretty, but if they can continue to do what they did yesterday, they will win games.
Let us know what you think. What did you like about yesterday's game? That's our Twitter poll as we get things rolling here. What was there to like? Was it the run offense, J.D. McCoy and his offensive line? Was it the run defense, which really limited the Jets? Was it the play of the new guys or something else? Phone lines open, too, at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, that's where our Twitter poll is, and that's the question, what did you like? One tweet from Slewfoot, your mom says, the fact they're, misspelled, not much better than the Jets. Well, they're 9 points better than the Jets, which is fairly significant edge in the current NFL.
The crazy thing is, it doesn't matter if in your mind they're not much better than the Jets. Whoever wins the game, wins the game. You have – nobody thought Kansas City would do what they did to the Patriots. So what are you going to say? Well, the Patriots are not much better than Kansas City. Well, they were on the schedule, and they beat them handily. You know, I mean, look, it is what it is. The question I have for you, Murph, is how do you
– I'm ready.
What'd you think of Tre'Davious?
Solid.
Solid. Right?
Great pass breakup, I think, on one pass. I believe in the end zone early on.
In the end zone, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good – good pass break. It was on Kurse, right? The veteran,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Kurse knows how to play. He knows how to make big catches,
exactly.
Contested catches. I thought that was an outstanding play by Tre'Davious, and he kind of made that look routine because he was – look, we know the Jets are limited, and McCown didn't attempt anything deep, really. Didn't even attempt anything very deep, and they didn't get much done in the passing game or in the run, but I thought Tre'Davious was absolutely solid.
Yeah,
really
he was
good.
Solid. The one thing is, you know, and I know DBs, they can't catch. That's why they play DB.
He had one in his hands.
Yeah. He got to make that play. And I expect him to make that play in the future. He's going to have to go get on the jugs machine. But when you watched him, and I don't know who that was that ran that route, but they tried to hit him with a slug-o, you know, a slant and go. And the way he played it was perfect. It was like a veteran corner out there playing it, you know. And I was like, wow, like this kid is really good. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be all right for this team.
A couple of other tweets. Bills, Mets, and Pence tweets in what he liked about the game. He says, Poyer was a beast. Micah had a nice game, too. Waiting for Zay and Trey to show more, but it was a good start. I think Tre'Davious is going to be fine. I also am waiting for Zay Jones to show more. I can wait because I think I know he's a great kid, and I think he's a pretty good player, and he is a rookie. Played
yeah,
his first
a
game,
rookie.
His first NFL game yesterday. He caught a pretty important pass at the time, but I think he's going
to
be good.
You know, and we all want to see more out of Zay Jones, but they have to get the ball to him, you know, and Tyrod has to trust him, you know, to throw it to him. And so he threw it to him yesterday. He caught a slant, picked up a first down. Look, he's going to get, 21 yards. He's going to get his shares of catches. And there might be games where he'll get one catch. There might be a game where he actually goes off and it's like, man, Zay was good yesterday. I mean, that's how it should be, though. You know, I mean, you're going to have your guys that you need to go off every week. But in terms of receivers, you're going to have one guy go off this week, another guy will go off next week. I mean, that's kind of how it works in this league, you know. So I think Tyrod, first of all, what I liked about yesterday's game, and I've been trying to get this since I came on the show last year was get the ball into Charles Clay's hands, and they did that yesterday. They showed that they were going to do that in the preseason. They have to continue to do that. He is a weapon, you know, and now you have Charles. They lined up with two tight ends a lot yesterday, you know, and if you can get the ball to Charles Clay, but then you can also sneak and get it to Nick O'Leary, it opens things up for Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones. And as long as Tyrod is on point, accurate, and he's not afraid to throw that ball over the middle of the field, it's going to be something to watch.
Here's an interesting tweet from Don. I like that we won. And he goes on to say, not to be rude, but you guys are not looking good with your head stuck in your computers on live TV.
Well.
Excuse me, Don. I got to read this tweet. It's a live radio show, too, Don. I got to look at my laptop to read your tweet on the air live. I got to look at the laptop to see where the calls are coming from and who they are. What do you think? This is not teleprompter city here. In fact, we have no teleprompters. This is you're seeing the sausage made. Seeing a live radio show here, Don, that we happen to put on TV as well.
Yeah, and any other live radio show that you might not recognize as a radio show, might not realize it's a radio show, but that's what we're doing here. It is a radio
we're
show
working
that's,
here.
That's shown on TV.
We're working here. Give us a break.
We won.
I'm going to look down at my laptop so I can see where to take the next call here. Dan from Erie. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the air. Hello, Dan from Erie. Hi, Dan.
Really loved the game yesterday. The fact that they made a couple of mistakes and still stayed within their game plan, came back and won. They were efficient. The defense was tough, and I kind of had an epiphany, if you can have one of those during a Bills game, but I thought, why? If we can play this sort of game, I'll take a 5-point win or an 8-point win. I don't care how good or bad the opponent is. As long as they play efficiently and win, I'm happy with that all year.
Yeah, I'll take that too. Wins are wins. And when we look back at the end of the year, if you have more wins than losses, it doesn't matter how they even got the win. You know, if you have more wins than losses, if you have a little more wins than a little more, if you have 10, 11, 12 wins and you only have a certain amount of losses, I don't think people would care. Well, back in week one, they beat the Jets this way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No. As we said, when the Patriots wind up with their win total this year, probably be, you know, double-digit wins, is anybody going to say, well, yeah, but two of those were against the Jets? Those don't count. Of course not. You're going to say, salute the Patriots if you want. You're going to say, there they are, double-digit wins again. The Bills, a lot of it depends on your expectations, I think, for the Bills, too. And I don't think we have unrealistic expectations for this Bills season. We know who they beat yesterday. Mm-hmm. We know who they play next week. We know that it's a step up in competition, clearly, and on the road. They'll make a difference next week. But let's see how it plays out.
I remember back when I was in high school, you know, Piscataway High School, puts a lot of guys in the NFL, public school, but they put a lot of guys in the league. Now, my high school, we would play against a very tough division, you know, where it was like tough game after tough game. Piscataway played in a weak division, and it was like they would skate through the season and just blow everybody out. And every year we were like, man, they don't play anybody, you know, and they get to the playoffs, and they're all healthy, and we're all beat up because of our schedule. And then they would get to the playoffs and just blow everybody out in the playoffs. Every year they won a state championship that way. And it's like, they're like, look, they're on our schedule. Like, what do you want us to do?
Who do you want us to play?
But when we get to the playoffs, we do the same exact thing, you know? So you can't help who's on your schedule. The league puts that on your schedule, and you just got to go out there and play.
Call here from Tom in West Seneca. Hello, Tom. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Tom from West Seneca, like I said. Just called a comment. I thought the Bills played really good yesterday. I was impressed. Mistakes can be overlooked as long as you win. And I thought they played really good. And I think this coach, McDermott, I think he's our guy. He's looks real intense on the sidelines. And I think he's the guy. And also, I must comment, win ugly or pretty, as Al Davis used to say, just win, baby. I think the Bills are going to have a great year. And myself and I and my family, we love the Bills. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to take this thing week by week, and we'll see how it goes. Murph, I got a tweet in that says, huge improvement in discipline, less penalties, and a much cleaner play. How many penalties did we get yesterday?
Five, right?
Just five penalties.
Six?
This is something we talked about in the preseason.
Sure we
you
did.
Know, and
yeah, especially in the early preseason games when they had so many penalties. Yesterday the Bills wound up with six for 50 yards. Jets had five.
So, yeah. So it was a cleaner game. You know, we had, 15 penalties in a preseason game?
Yep.
And we kept saying, maybe it's just some of the backups that are in there that are getting these penalties. And maybe that came true. We'll see how it plays out week after week. But yesterday it was a cleaner game in terms of penalties.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, Sean McDermott and his post-game locker room speech to the Bills after his first NFL victory. That's coming up next. Plus, at the top of the hour, Sean McDermott will go live and update us all on the Bills today. So stick around for that. The John Murphy Show coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Donald Jones is here. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Tyrod takes the shotgun snap. Pressured, steps up, still looking. Now he's got to run. At the 10, Tyrod at the 5, headed to the pylon, and he is out of bounds at the 2-yard line. That is enough for a first down. Tyrod Taylor with that 14-yard scramble that set up the next play. That's the third quarter score from Andre Holmes. That's the Hunt Real Estate Red Zone for you. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all of your real estate needs. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Head coach Sean McDermott coming up at the podium live on our show just a couple of minutes away. He was in the locker room pretty live, pretty electric yesterday after the Bills' 21-12 win over the New York Jets. And here's what it looked like and sounded like in the Buffalo locker room. You'll hear the voices of head coach Sean McDermott and then a little bit of Kyle Williams.
Congratulations, man. That's a team win right there. That's a team win. This is no ordinary team. Extremely proud of everyone in this room, man. Extremely proud. Extremely proud. Fundamentals? Yeah. How we win? Yeah. How we win. We don't care how anybody else is winning. This is how we win, right? As a team. As a team. What we talk about at halftime, what are we doing? What are we doing? Winning. Winning. Extremely proud. Hey, stay humble. Stay humble. That's one. Right, that's one. Take care of yourself tonight. Win off the field, win on the field. Extremely proud of you, man. That's playoff caliber all the way through, baby. All the way through. Only going to get better. Got a lot of work to do, right?
Yes, sir.
Got a lot of work to do. We'll see them again in the division. Respectful in the media. Taking care of business in-house. In-house. Tyler, come on.
Wait, stop. Special delivery, baby.
Hey, real quick. I want to say this. As a man of faith, I promised God that if we won or when we won, I'd praise him. So thank God for this. Thank God for you guys as a team win. Bring it in. Here we go. Let's go. You got it, bro.
Hey, fellas, that's the way to get the job done. Plenty more to come. Celebrate this for 24 hours and then brush it off. Learn from it. It's still some stuff we can learn from on tape, fellas. Continue to keep getting better. Family on three. One, two, three.
Family. That's the way they broke it down in the locker room. That's pretty standard post-game celebration, but good for Sean McDermott to get that game ball from Kyle Williams and to get that first NFL win.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. It has to be a great feeling for him because he's been dreaming of being a head coach for forever.
Yeah.
You know, and he got it in his first game. He got a win. It's a good thing for him.
All right, we're going to hear from Sean McDermott today, live when we return. He's getting ready to go to the podium here at One Bills Drive to talk to the media. That's coming up next on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
It is the day after a victory, but a work day for the Buffalo Bills. The players on hand here at One Bills Drive for film review and some conditioning after yesterday's 21-12 win over the New York Jets. Head coach Sean McDermott moments away from meeting with the media, expected to update the condition of at least one injured Bill, cornerback E.J. Gaines. Big day for LeSean McCoy, leading the Buffalo offense with 159 all-purpose yards, ran for 110 of them, and he passes the 12,000-yard mark in career yards from scrimmage. This is his sixth active player to do that. Next up, first road game for McDermott's Bills team, a trip to Carolina to play the Panthers in Charlotte on Sunday. Yesterday, Cam Newton threw a couple of touchdown passes to lead Carolina to a 23-3 win in San Francisco. The 49ers turned it over a couple of times. The Panthers following last year's disappointing 6-10 finish with a win on opening day. Newton did not look particularly sharp after playing just one series in preseason. In fact, his coach, Ron Rivera, said he looked rusty. We'll see how he is against the Bills coming up this coming Sunday. Philadelphia Eagles are going to be without starting cornerback Ronald Darby for at least the next month. The former Bill carted off the field during their win over Washington yesterday with a dislocated right ankle. The Eagles traded away Jordan Matthews in a high pick to the Bills to get Darby's services this offseason. The report today, no major ligament damage, and he could miss 4 to 6 weeks. Houston Texans are ready to go with rookie Deshaun Watson at quarterback if he is healthy. Coach Bill O'Brien declined to name a starter for Thursday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Monday Night Football tonight, a doubleheader, 7-10. The New Orleans Saints play the Minnesota Vikings. The Saints have won the last three times these two teams have played. And the late game at 10:20 tonight, the Los Angeles Chargers play at Denver tonight, 10:20 at Sports Authority Field in Mile High in Denver. Broncos have won 5 of the last 6 games in this series. In tennis, Rafael Nadal dominated his opponent yesterday, Kevin Anderson, to win his third championship at the U.S. Open, 6-3, 6-3, 6-4. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We are moments away from head coach Sean McDermott meeting with the media here to update injuries and talk a little bit more about yesterday's game. We will carry that live as the Buffalo Bills coming off the 21-12 win over the New York Jets, and we're here to talk about that with you. Our Twitter poll today deals with the victory, and we want to know what you like best about yesterday's game, what you saw yesterday. Let us know what you think was the most encouraging sign from the Buffalo Bills yesterday, and you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Was it, in fact, the way that the Bills ran the football with LeSean McCoy? Was it, maybe you think, the Buffalo defense, and particularly the run defense? Was it the contributions from new players? Right now, 36% of you say it was the contributions from the new guys that you like the most. 34% say the run defense. 23% say the run offense. 7% say something else. You know what those one-hour-old Twitter poll results tell me, Donald?
What's that?
There's a lot to like about that game yesterday, right? Yeah. It's pretty evenly distributed. There were a couple even different things to like.
Because you have to – we talked about this back in the spring. The defense last year was an issue,
yeah.
You know, and run defense. When you have three different games where you give up, 200 yards by one player on the ground, that is not good, you know. The run defense was not good. They weren't able to stop teams from scoring points last year. Yesterday, the run defense was good, and they were able to keep the Jets from scoring points, you know. The run offense was good. It was like it was last year, you know, and Shady was – in mid-season form, you know, so it was good to see. And then you had a lot of new faces out there that were truly making plays, and that was a great thing to see.
And the Bills trying to find their way to win games this year, obviously, and I think, you know, the formula they have, similar to the, at least on paper formula, I think they might be able to execute it better this year, is to play good defense, be strong against the run, and have a strong running game. And, yeah, we all await the savior quarterback to drop down from the sky. It's not going to happen in the next couple of months here. So in the meantime, they win the way they can, which I think if their defense is strong, as it was yesterday, I think they might surprise some people. I said it after the preseason. I wrote it on our website, when I was asked the question, the Bills will win 10 games if. Look, I don't think they're going to win 10 games. They might. But if they do, I think it will be because the defense plays the way they played in preseason. And the first game out yesterday, first regular season game, they played pretty much the way they played in preseason, maybe even a little bit better against the New York Jets.
That's how they have to play, you know. And unfortunately, look, you're not going to have an offense that's putting up 40 points a game, you know, offense that's like high scoring. You might have one game where they score some points, but or a couple of games. But for me, this team, the wins will come, but the wins will be ugly, you know. And that's because you're going to play strong defense and you're going to have to run the ball. And people don't like people don't like to watch that. People like to see you throw the ball all over the field and score touchdowns and throw long bombs and everything and score touchdowns. But that's not how this team will play this year. It's just not. This team will play. They will find creative ways to get different guys their touches. They're going to lean heavily on the running game, and that's with Shady, Tolbert, maybe Joe Banyard, and Tyrod Taylor running the ball, and they will score points that way. You know, so it's not going to be pretty, but that's how they have to win games. And there have been teams in the past that have gone on to win Super Bowls. And that's not to say that this team is anywhere like that right now. But there have been teams in the past that go on and win Super Bowls winning that way.
Tyrod threw for only, you know, 224 yards, 27 targeted pass attempts yesterday, and only 8 of those 27 went to wide receivers. Jordan Matthews had 3 targets. Zay Jones had 4, mm-hmm. and Andre Holmes had 1. Somebody asked me today if that's going to be an issue moving forward, if it's, you know, we're going to look at an offense that maybe doesn't feature or target wide receivers. I think they'll have to address it on a game-to-game basis, Donald. I think there are going to be games. Maybe they fall behind. Maybe they're in a bit of a shootout when they're going to have to lean more heavily on the wide receivers. But out of the gate to start this season with the lack of playing time between Tyrod Taylor and those receivers,
right.
I think that's an effective way to do it. I think it's a good way to do it, just to get things rolling a little bit.
You know, I did a show earlier this morning, and I said, listen, this – teams are now going to say, you know what, we're going to take away the run game and we're going to take away Charles Clay. So they're going to force Tyrod Taylor to throw to the receivers on the outside. And he's going to have to do that,
yeah.
you know. And that if they can do it effectively, then it will open things back up for Charles Clay. But I would almost guarantee that the Panthers this week will double-team Charles Clay and they're going to stack the box and take away the run. So Jordan Matthews, Zay Jones, Andre Holmes, you guys have to get open on the outside. That's just how they are going to play it. And if Tyrod can do that effectively – it is going to be week to week, and you take what a team gives you. You know, a team is going to give you something because they're trying to take something away, and if they're trying to take this one thing away, it opens something else up. Effective teams, good teams, know how to adjust and win games winning a different way, and that's how they're going to have to do it this week.
We have seen Tyrod Taylor be an effective, deep passer in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him work the outside
yeah.
pretty well in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to believe that's still in his skill set, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think. And I think what I think Coach Rick Dennison is going to do is he's going to move these guys around a lot, you know, where Charles Clay won't just be at tight end. He's going to move outside. He's going to move in the slot, you know, or you're going to move him around where teams can't just say, okay, he's going to be a tight end. We know we can double or we can bracket him with these two guys. You move him outside. You move Shady outside, you know, where you can't just bracket Shady, you know. And if you're creative in that way and you're motioning and shifting and doing different things like that, these are the types of things that offensive teams have to do when you're still trying to gel as a team. We talked about it last week. It's going to take a couple of weeks for you to gel as an offense. In the meantime, you got to be creative in the way that you get different guys their touches, you know.
Yeah.
And so if Coach Dennison is creative like he was yesterday and moving guys around, it doesn't allow the defensive coordinator to get a beat on what you're doing, where guys are going to be lined up. And it can confuse a defense. And then next thing you know, you have guys running open down the field.
We're moments away from head coach Sean McDermott addressing the media on this Monday. In fact, it's happening right now. Let's listen in across the way, Sean McDermott with the media on this Monday.
I didn't mention the commemoration of the 9/11 and all the families affected by 9/11, both in the past and that continue to be affected by 9/11. So just want everyone to know that they're in our thoughts and our prayers on this day. So with that, I'll open it up to questions.
How quickly, I mean, you usually forget, I mean, go beyond like a first win even and a victory, but how much faster do you do that knowing that you're facing a homecoming this week?
No, we treat every game kind of like its own entity, if you will. We've got to make sure that there's a lot to be learned from yesterday's game. So we have to make sure we celebrate what was up to standard and what wasn't. And there's a lot of good things. Guys play extremely hard, played as a team, like I said yesterday after the game. And so there's a lot to learn from yesterday's game, both in terms of what we need to duplicate and what we need to get better at this week.
There's no connection to Carroll. I mean, you must have some kind of feelings about looking ahead to – had this date even circled, maybe, that, you know, Carolina's on the schedule, and here you go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I acknowledge that they're the next opponent. They're certainly a good opponent. We respect the heck out of every opponent, and Carolina is a talented, talented football team. I really appreciate the time that I spent there, great people around that organization, and it'll be a huge challenge for us to go down there. It's their home opener, but I also know the work that we've got to put in this week. So that's where my focus really is right now.
How much of what you and Brandon learned in Carolina have you applied to forming this team and shaping this team?
I don't know. You learn from – you certainly learn – we learned both a lot from our time in Carolina. Brandon was there a lot longer than I was. I learned a lot myself, having said that, from Coach Rivera, from Marty Herney, from Dave Gettleman, Danny Morrison, Mr. Richardson. I mean, the list really goes on. I learned a lot from my staff who are still there, most of which who are still there. So the players, I mean, I learned a lot from the players. So, you know, just it's a great organization. You know, they do things the right way. They've won a ton of games. And, you know, they've got a very, very talented football team. And they've added to that through free agency at first glance this year, and that I can tell. And then they had a good, solid draft. So, you know, just a lot of respect for what they do and how they do things.
Is there a certain advantage that you have because you know everything that they do so well?
I don't know about that. I just think, look, I'm not out there playing, so that's hard to say an advantage. We've got to put in our time and earn the right to win, in which we plan on doing that. So great lesson learned yesterday. You know, the guys prepared the right way, and when they took the field, they had gone through the process, earned the right to win, and then I thought came out with the right mindset and through all four quarters, won a tight football game. That was good to see.
Coach, you said you had a long list coming out of the game, which we were jotting down. What might be sitting at the top of that list now after reviewing film today?
I would start off really, Chris, with missed opportunities in the first half. When you looked at yardage-wise, at least in the first half, you know, offense versus defense, and we had opportunities to put points on the board in the first half, which we didn't capitalize on, which we have to and will do going forward. And then penalties, changing the field position on special teams. We were having the change of possession in one particular situation with punt return, and we had a costly penalty on us, and that changed field position. And then finally, I would say just at the top of my mind right now of the long list is four-minute offense. As well as we played at times offensively, I thought we could have finished the game off in a more commanding, if you will, you know, approach offensively, and we didn't get that done. So a long list of things to get better at.
Sean, the tackling seemed to be particularly strong yesterday. I think there was a sequence where Lorenzo and Jordan on back-to-back plays made those nice open field tackles. Was it as good as it looked maybe on first glance after you reviewed the film?
Yeah, there was some really good fundamentals yesterday, and you've heard me talk at length about fundamentals. You know, we're a big believer big believers philosophically in fundamentals. And, you know, the tackling did show up, I thought, on the defensive side and special teams. The blocking, I thought our offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage. I thought we caught the ball, for the most part, well. Some we want to have back, some of those opportunities. But that area of the game showed up, and as it usually does throughout the year, let alone the first three or four games. And that was key for us.
Humber had 14 tackles. He was a guy that, you know, he was been penciled in that starting lineup really from day one for you guys, but we had always known him as a special teams guy. He sort of, maybe that was a little bit of a coming out party for him. Would you agree that his performance was pretty strong as well?
It was. I thought Ramon played well. There's a number of guys that played well, Ramon being one of them. Great effort, great attitude, and, you know, the thing you love about his story is he has been primarily a special teams player, but credit to Ramon and the defensive coaches, Coach Babich, Coach Frazier, just doing a phenomenal job. And that's part of who we are. You know, we're going to put our players in position to be successful, play to their strengths, and develop our players at the same time. So love when you see a guy with Ramon's history come out at an opener in particular and have the game that he had. So that was fun to watch.
The guy, Sean, that I saw him a couple times, he had to go out wide to cover. I mean, is he a guy that you feel can handle a coverage responsibility, especially on the outside of the field too?
Well, it's just at times what the defense called for. We believe in Ramon. I mean, he's got that special team space ability, and that's part of the reason why he's out there. I mean, you see the movement ability, yet at the same time he's physical. And he plays. He's a good football player. He plays the game in an aware fashion, and so he was around the ball a lot yesterday, and that's good to see.
Did you have any other injuries to that game as you come in this morning? Anybody
No, just some guys, you know, that got dinged during the game. But Gaines right now was the one with the shoulder at this point. Seems like just a contusion at this point.
Wiles, what's it feel like to be in first place?
Feels good to be 1-0. It really does. I'll be human for a second. Feels good to be 1-0. Is that what you're looking for? All feels good to be 1-0. I'm extremely proud of the guys. I really am. I'm extremely proud of the guys. Like I said yesterday, it's good for the organization. It's an entire organization win, and I know what happened on the field yesterday was a result of a lot of hard work around this building, in every corner of this building, and I'm very much appreciative of that.
Marcel was held off the stat sheet. He played the fewest number of snaps among your starting defensive linemen. What went into that decision to use him the way that you guys did?
Yeah, I'll start off by saying I thought Marcel played a good game. You know, defensive tackle is probably the most unselfish or one of the most unselfish positions on the football field because just by the nature of the position, usually you're freeing someone else up to make a play. And as you mentioned, Ramon Humber earlier, right? So every time Ramon Humber is free to the ball, something's happening in front of him that's allowing him to be free. And Marcel was doing some of that. And then after that, it's really just about rolling fresh defensive linemen. So I really don't know what went on in the past. I just know what our system calls for, and that's for fresh bodies up front. And that's just a healthy rotation of guys so that they're fresh to rush the passer when we need it. And I thought they did a good job of that.
John, when you've played in games before, somebody you've coached with, now you're going against and kind of knows your terminology, know your scheme, things like that. Does it cause you to possibly kind of change too much stuff, overthink it, and could that possibly happen in this situation? You were there for a long time. You know a lot of what they do. I'm just wondering, like, how do you balance that out? Because you know there's a little bit of a mind game going on there because people do know each other's terminologies and schemes.
There's probably a tendency to make an over-adjustment from time to time. I've been through these before, you know, whether it's been myself or other coaches on staff, and how you handle it's important. You know, again, I'm not out there, you know, playing quarterback, thank God, and I'm not out there playing defense. I mean, that's our guys are going to be the ones that are out there. And it's what's important or most important is what they know, not what I know. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's a game of football. It's a reaction game and an anticipation game. So, you know, there is a tendency, I would say, to maybe make an over-adjustment. We just have to be smart with that.
Cody, what validation do you take? And I know it's one game, but the fact that your new defensive secondary played well and your two big free agent additions in Micah and Jordan both had interceptions, the key ones.
Yeah, those guys work extremely hard. You know, Gil Bird, Bobby Babbage do a really good job with those guys. And they were new. It's not like they came from the same place and have played together before. These guys really you know, this is the first time that they've played together, and Micah and Jordan, and then they've got new guys on both corners, you know, that they've never played with before, and Trey's a rookie. So, you know, still a lot to be gained from watching this film, a lot of lessons to be learned. That said, I was proud of the way that they played. We've got two key takeaways in the fourth quarter, and we're able to seal the game. So it was fun to watch the rush and the coverage working hand-in-hand and really complementing one another. And which was the case on the two interceptions.
You mentioned Trey White. The stage doesn't seem to be too big for him since the moment he got here. What did you see on film from him in his first NFL game?
Right, I saw poise. I saw poise, and I saw a player that had played in big games, which is the case when you go to LSU and you play at LSU and play on a good defense with Coach Aranda down there. So Trey is an extremely smart football player, very aware, and he puts a lot of time into his preparation, which for a young player is good, you know, and it's good for all players, but let alone a young player to know how important that is in the process, and he definitely respects that. So you know, any success he had yesterday, again, credit to the coaches and to Trey in terms of how they prepared.
You talked about using Chady as much as you needed to win last week. He played, I think, 70% of the snaps. What did you feel about his workload after the game? Is it where you wanted it to be, or are you comfortable with it?
Yeah, we were. I mean, again, the combination of LaShawn and Mike Tolbert, I think that was a healthy rep swing, if you will. And LaShawn definitely made some huge plays. I thought, again, our offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage most of the day, and LaShawn just made some incredible, dynamic plays and really gave us a spark. And then Mike would come in and complement LaShawn's style. So that was a good little combination in there working for us. So I was happy with the way both of those players played.
With respect to Corey, I know you were pacing him through the game. You had Deion fill in. Did he come through the game okay? And is the plan going forward to kind of bump up his participation level with each passing?
It is. I mean, the acclimation process really continues, Chris, as far as Cordy goes. There's constant communication with Cordy and our training room staff in terms of how the plan adjusts from day to day, from week to week. I thought Cordy did a good job, and the important part was he came out healthy. And by all reports from what we can tell, that's where he is right now, and now it's how we handle this week moving forward. So I did like how Jordan on the right side, and I thought Deion coming in, another rookie that played yesterday significant time, did a nice job as well.
On a personal level, when Kyle Williams stopped things in the locker room yesterday, handed you that game ball, what was that feeling like? Were you getting that in and having those guys give that to you?
Yeah, it meant a lot. It meant a lot just because of, I know, number one, how important this win was to everyone. And that's, it's never a one-man show, right? I didn't do much in the game yesterday, so other than talk to the refs a couple times, really. But that meant a lot coming from the guys. It really did. I think there's a lot of love in that locker room, from player to player, coach to player, player to coach, and it meant a lot. It meant a lot to me, really, to be able to lead that team out on the field before the game as well, and coming from a guy like Kyle, I think when you say the name Kyle Williams, people around here know what that means, and to come from a guy like Kyle means a lot.
If I'm not mistaken, your team was introduced as a team before the game instead of the individual introductions. Was that your decision, the team's decision?
That was the team's. That was the player's decision.
Where is the game ball? In the running game, particularly, a lot of runs to the right side. What were your thoughts behind that? Just running the ball, especially with LaShawn to the right side.
Yeah, we saw some things over there that we liked. You always want to be balanced, and that's, when you're calling a game, that's hard to be exactly balanced. But we felt like we had some decent balance in there. And we're trying to get some things popped, and some of them popped and some didn't. Always something we're going to look at, study, and make sure we try and exploit as much as we can offensively. And I thought we had some good openings in there. LaShawn popped through a couple times in there, so it was good.
Did you find a good spot for that game ball?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get to have two at the end of the day, which was good. I gave one to my parents, and I kept the other one. So.
Where did you put the other one you kept?
It's in my office.
Coach Mike was saying after the game he had never seen a head coach in his first game as calm and collected as you were. obviously, the question wasn't genuine, but was there? Did you want to make sure you kind of didn't show anything to your players? They feed off your leadership, obviously. Did you want to make sure you also didn't show any type of nervous anticipation?
I just want to be myself. I expect our players, hopefully they know I give them space to be themselves, themselves, and I just want to be myself. I know there's a lot of different styles out there. One of the head coaching interviews when you do the circuit is, what are you going to be like on the sideline? And my answer has always been, I'm going to be myself, and that's, I'm going to be Sean McDermott. And, I may have looked a certain way, but I was, I think, pretty vocal down there. And just trying to do my part, do my 1/11th, as we say here, in terms of doing my job. So I was proud of the way the players handled things.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Head Coach Sean McDermott at the podium just across the way here at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here. We're glad to be able to share that with you. A couple of the highlights from that. As far as I wrote this down now, too. The E.J. Gaines, yeah, his status. He has a shoulder bruise, according to Sean McDermott, and there's no update on when he might be able to play. Long list of improvements, the coach said, Donald, including starting off with missed opportunities. I was unsettled at halftime yesterday because you saw the incredible disparity between the yardage between the Bills and the Jets, and you saw the scoreboard with a one-point difference. And I thought, this is trouble.
It
turned out not to – 236 yards of offense for the Bills first half versus 85, almost 3-1 in terms of yardage gain, and it was only a one-point margin of for the Bills on top. That worried me a little bit, and they did miss opportunities.
They missed at least 10 points of opportunities. I mean, the interception, that would have been, 7 points, and then the missed field goal by Hauschka is something that, none of us want to see, and I'm sure he will get that corrected. You can't, and as we talk about this team and how they're going to win games, this team can't afford to have those missed opportunities, especially against the better teams, the teams that score a lot of points. You can't afford to miss those opportunities when you have those opportunities because you don't get them back, and the other teams take advantage of your missed opportunities, So they need to get that corrected, definitely. But for the most part, once they came out in the second half, another thing that he talked about that he didn't like from the game was the 4-minute offense at the end of the game. That's something that you have to be able to control the clock at the end of the game, especially if you're a run first team. You got to be able to run the ball, and control the clock and seal a team, and they weren't able to do that yesterday. Those are a couple of things that they need to get corrected.
Among the other the things that he liked, he said, was tackling. I'm glad he pointed that out because that jumped out at me watching the video of the game today, just how well they tackled, how consistently well the Bills tackled yesterday. And the other thing about Marcell Dareus is limited snaps. So Coach McDermott said he thought Dareus played pretty well, played a good game, he said. And it sounds like that's the kind of – well, who was it – who do we have on the show recently that talked about the rotation and – oh, somebody I talked to in the locker room about if we get more than 30 snaps on the defense. Oh, it was the Dolphins Washington or Jarrell Worthy.
One of those two.
Said, yeah, the goal is 30 snaps. If you get more than that on the defensive line, that's too much. And I'm just checking real quick. Were they able to accomplish that? Kyle Williams had 43. Shaq Lawson had 37. Dareus had 34. And the rest, of course, filling in. So the Jets didn't run a lot of plays, I think 52 plays. But if the goal – it sounds like their goal is no more than 30 snaps for the defensive lineman. Other than Kyle, they came pretty close to getting that done yesterday.
If you're getting 30 snaps, if that's all you're getting, that means that, number one, you have depth, especially if you don't see a big fall off. Now, yesterday the Jets were able to move the ball when the backups came in. But, if you can keep it to those amount of snaps, that means when those guys are in there, they're fresh. And they're able to make plays, and that's all you want. You need for those guys, especially because they're bigger guys, the defensive line, you need for them to be fresh when they're in there so that they can put pressure on the quarterback and create turnovers. That's all you need from your defense.
Which was exactly what happened in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Pressure, exactly. Different games, pressure on both interceptions.
Right. And at the end of the game, the Bills were able to wear the Jets' defensive line down because they didn't really have that rotation. But because the Bills had that rotation, they were able to continue to shut the Jets down at the end of the game. One of the things that I liked about the game was Ramon Humber, though.
Yeah.
And Ramon Humber played good yesterday. He had, 13 tackles? I'm not sure the rest of the stats that he had, but I know he had 13 tackles. And he was the one guy that was making open field tackles, And I love to see when a linebacker can make open field tackles on running backs and then wide receivers and things like that. That means he can move. And I guess he is the weak side linebacker this year.
Yeah, every game, every week, we say, I guess he's the guy. And what? He played yesterday like he should be the guy. I talked to Ramon in the locker room yesterday, and I kind of asked him a question about, we didn't know you had this in you. We knew you were a special teamer. Mm-hmm. And he took a little offense at that. He said, well, coaches in the league. You would too?
Yeah.
He said, well, coaches in the league know who I am, and some fans know who I am. But we're all just getting to learn Ramon Humber, and I think we saw yesterday how important he might be to this defense.
Yeah, it's the fact of the matter is he came in here as a special teams guy, and that's what we knew him as, a special teams guy, because that's what he played last year. You get a new scheme and a coach that actually believes in your ability, and next thing you know, you're out there making plays. So Now we're all going to learn more and more about Ramon Humber if he continues to play like he did yesterday. And I hope he does, because we're going to need him to.
Again, I did the interview with Ramon in the locker room after the game yesterday, Ramon Humber. And here's what he had to say about leading the team in tackles with 13 total tackles yesterday.
It's a good game plan. Coach put together a good game plan, just flying around and just having fun, really.
What was the part of the game plan that you thought worked especially well today?
Just shutting down the run. I mean, I haven't looked at the stat sheet to see how much rushing yards they got, but, you know, making them one-dimensional. Anytime you make a team one-dimensional, that's half the battle right there. You're already winning right there.
In a way, that was almost a carryover the way you guys played in preseason, right? Nobody ran against you in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just taking pride in defense. Nobody's going to run on us. That's just the way our mindset is. And guys is doing their job, flying around to the football and then being gap sound.
As well as you were playing, there was a point there for a little while, even in the third quarter, when the game wasn't settled yet. I mean, they weren't racking up yards, the Jets weren't, but you had to play through it. There was like persistence here, knowing that eventually things might come through.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still, anybody's hard to beat here in the NFL. I mean, they're still a good team. You know, it's battlefield position. Guys are going back, we're going back and forth, and, you know, it was just all about who's going to break down first. And, you know, we didn't break down, and I think they broke down first, and, you know, we came out with the victory.
You started one game last year for us, right? At least
I believe
Jets game. So even though this wasn't your first start, maybe this was your first chance to make an impression on the fans and let people know who you are and what you might be able to give to this defense, provide to this defense.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be here. I mean, I know coaches around the league know about me. I'm pretty sure the fans would pretty much know about me, too. I mean, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm happy to be a Bill, and just ready to keep going.
Ramon Humber in the Buffalo locker room yesterday. We'll hear more sound from the locker room when we return. We'll take a little trip around the locker room and listen to what was said after yesterday's win over the Jets. We'll listen to you as well. What did you like about yesterday's game? You can participate in our Twitter poll, or you can ring us up. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like in Buffalo's 21-12 win over the Jets. The lines will be open when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
More of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Taylor, the snap, looks to the end zone, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown! Touchdown! It is Charles Clay in the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! Bills' first touchdown of the game, the Hilbert College call of the game. At Hilbert College, they see things differently. Discover the Hilbert College difference with their open house September 23rd. Register today at hilbert.edu/see different. See Hilbert College. See differently. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, John Murphy and Donald Jones. Halfway through the show, we just had Sean McDermott's live news conference. We want to hear from you. You can do it on our Twitter poll. Let's revisit that for a second. Want to know what you liked about yesterday's game. Let us know what you liked the best about yesterday's game. There was a lot to like, and that's reflected in the way the boats are coming in. What did you like most from the Buffalo Bills' win over the New York Jets? Right now, 36% of you saying you like the contributions from the new guys. There's a lot of them, right? 31 new faces on the roster this year, including the coach, I guess. 34% of you said you like the run defense. 23% said you like the run offense. 7% say something else. Let us know. Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Dan from Los Angeles. Hello, Dan. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Didn't like. I really liked the hustle play by the secondary. I thought they all surrounded the ball every time the ball was out there, and I liked the hustle by Kyle Williams. I thought he did a really great job of not quitting on plays, staying after it. And I didn't like the field goal. It was a wide hook shot, ugly-looking kick, and I hope I don't see more of that. And if you wouldn't mind commenting on the one play in the turnover, I believe it was Kyle ran down the field and knocked the ball out of the guy's arms when he was down, but he wasn't really down, was he, because he was knocked down by his own player. So wouldn't that still be a live ball, and it should have been our ball at that point?
You're talking about Eric Wood.
Yeah, it was Eric Wood. And he actually, even though he ran into his own guy right before that happened, somebody touched him, you know, and so I guess they counted that as.
No, you know what? I know the play. We all know the play. It was the interception in the end zone. Mm-hmm. My take on it, and again, after looking at the video today, my take was that he did get knocked down by his opponent, and then he was contacted by Eric Wood, who hustled back to tackle him. And he was on one knee when he was contacted by Eric Wood. And I think that's where they ruled him down. It was Burris, right, the cornerback. I believe he was on one knee when Eric Wood contacted him. And at that point, the play would be dead. He'd be down by contact. I think that's how they interpreted that. I didn't see it that way when it first happened, and I was surprised at initially that the play was not overturned after a replay review. They're all reviewing, obviously, the turnovers. But I think the ruling was that with one knee down, when Wood made contact, instantly that play was dead, and it didn't matter what happened to the ball. So it was a good hustle play by Eric.
It was a good hustle play by Eric for him to run back down the field. Yeah. And because you don't know. I mean, when you're running down there, first of all, you're very upset because you just threw an interception and you were actually going in to score. So you're running down there, and you're like, I'm about to take somebody out. You know, and he sees him on the ground, and he just takes him out. He doesn't really know that whole thing happened. Well, it's a great hustle play.
It's bang, bang. The guy was on one knee. You don't know if he's going to get up. In fact, he was on his way to get up again and keep going.
He would have got up and kept going. So, yeah, it was a good play by Eric Wood. And, you know, it was a tough penalty, but it happens.
Give me your receiver's eye view of the interception, the other end of that play. What happened? What was supposed to happen? What do you think?
So,
what went wrong, basically?
You know, Tyrod put it a little bit behind Charles Clay. He put it on his back shoulder, you know. And so Tyrod has to put it, obviously, on the front shoulder to make it an easier catch. But Charles Clay will also know that Charles Clay would tell you, I got to make that play. Because it wasn't like way behind Charles Clay. He still can make that catch. A tight end with his ability can definitely make that play. And anytime you have something like that where a guy tips it up, you know, if a guy is in the right place, he's going to catch an interception, you know. And so both of those guys have to be a little bit better in just fundamentals. You know, Tyrod putting it on the front side and Charles Clay making sure that even though it's behind me, I got to make that catch.
Here's a call from Manny in Hamburg. Hello, Manny. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, gentlemen. You guys are so good. You stole all my thunder. Everything I wanted to talk about, you guys already talked about. But anyway, I'll just touch on it. I wanted to commend Ramon Humber for his 12. His tackles, now, if you're in fantasy football, you understand he had 12 solo tackles. That's 12 points, you know, which is tremendous. So you guys covered that. I wanted to talk about the fourth quarter when we were three and out. Instead of having LeSean running the ball, why didn't we have the fullback running the ball? I think Donald touched on that. You know, why, when you're theoretically running out the clock, trying to get a first down, I think the fullback is the guy to go to and save your Shady. And the other thing I was concerned about was the missed field goal, which the gentleman before me talked about. I hope that doesn't become an issue. And that's all I got, and you guys do a great job.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, the four-minute offense is what he was talking about there, and Shady was in the game at the end of the game, and you want to be able to control the clock, and you would think, you know, that you would have, I guess, a bigger back in there because the team knows you're trying to control the clock. The team knows you're trying to run the ball. But, you know, LeSean McCoy is a good running back, and it's hard to
really
take him off the field.
Back.
Yeah, it's hard to take him off the field, you know, so I don't blame them for keeping him
you
in
wanna,
there.
I mean, I, you know, if it doesn't work, you should have done the other thing, but you know, what do you want, like a two-yard run, a two-yard run, a two-yard run? No.
Yeah.
You want McCoy to get some first downs. You're looking to pick up first downs through the on the ground and through the air.
Right, exactly, you know, so it's something that you can kind of go back and forth on, like, how come you don't have the bigger back in there, the guy that can get you those tough yards, but then you have one of the best running backs in the game, you know, and it's hard for a coach to take that guy off the field when you're trying to close the game out.
And they did use Tolbert. I mean, there were two series we're talking about here, mm-hmm. with the Bills up by 9:25 left to play. Two series where, you know, they went three and out, which is not exactly what you're trying to do here.
Right.
But and it was McCoy mostly. By the third series, they started to use Tolbert. They picked up a first down and eventually punted it away with virtually no time left on
right.
the clock
for
the Jets. Yeah. Got to be better. There's no question about that.
You definitely have to be better. But, you know, that's why this is in the first game, the first couple of games, you're trying to get used to, you know, what guys are going to be in there in certain situations. You know, that's what – and people will say, well, that's what the preseason is for. Well, you know, the guys are not playing the full preseason.
Right.
So
right.
This is the first game, and it's a good opponent at home. You get a chance to kind of work some things out like this.
Yep. Aaron calling from Niagara Falls. Hello, Aaron. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys. How you doing, gentlemen? Murph, great call yesterday, as always. Wanted to say that Bills Mafia looked like they were out in full force and behind their team. It looked great. A couple things I just wanted to point out. We were talking, or you hear a lot of talk about the coach bringing in a lot of discipline, and it seemed like it showed yesterday's game. I know it was in the second half, I think, we were kind of running down the clock, and somebody jumped offside, and he was they panned over to him in the camera, and he was yelling at one of the O-line guys. I think it was Wood or Incognito. I don't know who it was, but
I hope that continues, and I want to see a left legs, and it looked like that was the case yesterday. And I wanted to point out to Shady's discipline. I mean, he was following his lead blocks, and I mean, it seemed like it was different yesterday. It seemed like he was a lot more in between the hash marks than going outside the hash marks. Like, I know he's a north-south runner, or I should say east-west runner, but it looked like he was going more north-south yesterday. And Gilmore, I mean, same old Gilmore pointing fingers at other people. I'm talking about the Stephon Gilmore watching that Thursday night game, pointing fingers at other people, not having his back. It looked like the same old Gilmore.
Did he do that? I didn't see. When did Stephon do that? I didn't hear that or see that.
He got burned real bad.
Oh, I saw that, but did he point fingers?
Well, he was looking back. He was trying to find the safety, and he was looking for that safety help. I don't know if it was the safety's mistake or if it was his fault, but it just looked like the same old Gilmore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they were supposed to do. What did
Greg Cosell said? He thought it was McCourty who followed the trailing guy over the middle, and he thought, Greg Cosell, from his look at the video, Cosell thought that it looked like Stephon expected safety help and probably should have had safety help.
Yeah, I think McCourty was like, he was down, he was kind of down low, and then he was supposed to get back deep in the safety in like a cover two look, and he wasn't able to get back deep fast enough, you know, and by the time, and I believe his eyes were in the wrong place as well. His eyes were like inside. Yeah, he was looking inside, and the guy was running up the sideline, and by the time he realized it was too late.
We're going to break. Come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones on the day after Buffalo's 21-12 win over the New York Jets with the Carolina Panthers coming up. Head coach Sean McDermott addressed the media about half an hour ago. The injury news, cornerback E.J. Gaines with a shoulder contusion, a shoulder bruise, and McDermott had no update on his availability, his potential availability for this coming Sunday's game at Carolina. They're backed up pretty well there with Sharice Wright, I would think, if they have to go that direction, huh?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. Sharice Wright is, I mean, if you remember, those guys were battling, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we coming into, I guess, this week one, we were like, okay, E.J. Gaines has had a very good camp, so he should probably be the starter. But it wasn't like, you know, E.J. Gaines is the guy. You know, we were waiting for Coach McDermott to confirm that, you know. So it's not like you have a huge drop-off or anything like that. Sharice Wright will be fine to go into this game if E.J. Gaines can't play.
All right, well, we spent some time after the game going around the Bills locker room and talking to players. There was comments from the podium as well. Let's listen in around the locker room after yesterday's victory over the New York Jets. Head coach Sean McDermott on his first win with the Bills.
Good to win as a team, and so extremely proud of the players, the way they played. It's never easy to win in this league, and they played hard for four quarters, so certainly appreciate that. Also appreciate the fans. Four quarters hanging in there with us. The intensity, the energy in this building was outstanding. And then to carry that for four quarters, I can't thank them enough. It's great to play at home, and we look forward to seeing them in a couple weeks here.
Safety Micah Hyde on the crowd noise at New Era Field.
It was loud. It was loud, but that's how we like it. You know, because it's harder for their offense to communicate. You know, we practice that kind of stuff, especially being at home and how loud it's going to be. So it's awesome. You know, my first regular season game being in, playing in Buffalo. You know, I played here before in the past, and I remember it being just as loud. It's an amazing place to play, and, you know, we definitely cherish that.
Linebacker Ramon Humber, what worked for the Bills' defense?
Just shutting down the run. I mean, I haven't looked at the stat sheet to see how much rushing yards they got, but, you know, making them one-dimensional. Anytime you make a team one-dimensional, you just have to battle right there. You're already winning right there.
Safety Jordan Poyer, a total team victory.
Great, great team win. You know, all 11 guys on defense, all three phases, really. You know, it was fun. It was fun to play in front of that crowd. It was fun, you know, the atmosphere. You know, we got a lot of work to do, though. It's week one. We're excited to get that first win out under our belt, but, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, a good way for the Bills to start.
I think it was a great start. We had two turnovers, which is big for us today. That's something that we want to do each and every game. Guys was flying around, was able to stop the run early and often, made them get out of their game plan and had to go to a lot of quick game. And even when they had that drive, I think guys stepped up, was resilient, and still continue to play hard, and that's what you want to see out of your defense.
Running back LeSean McCoy, who was used also as a pass receiver.
Yeah,
which was kind of crazy. Is that I guess the pass numbers were pretty cool, but we didn't even run a lot of my plays as far as me being the main target. The play design for me in the passing game, which we had a lot listed, so that's pretty cool. Imagine if we went to them plays and just the ball that came to me.
Quarterback Tyrod Taylor on the move to make plays downfield.
Definitely something that I focus on. Whenever you move the pocket, just allows the DBs to have to cover more time. So we have guys like Shady that can shake loose from those guys on the back end, as well as Jordan Matthews, Clay, Zay. All those guys are working. And I tell them whenever I get a chance to move the pocket, just to stay with me. Big plays can come from those type of plays. And we was able to capitalize a couple today actually kept third down drives and kept the drive going.
That's Around the Locker Room, brought to you by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. Such a great atmosphere in that locker room yesterday. You know, it really is.
Yeah, when you win, especially your home opener, first game of the season, it's always good to get a win, you know, and it's just a lot better feeling for everybody in the locker room, and that's coaches, players, the media. Everybody feels a lot better when the team wins.
I told you I wasn't coming in today if they had lost. I wasn't. Think I could have got away with that?
No.
As if I've never come in here after a loss.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I've been around a while. I've been in here after losses. When we come back, we'll talk to a guy who's been around here a little bit too, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, getting ready to award his brownie points for the victory yesterday. We'll see if we can squeeze some of the brownie points out of him. Maybe we can give him some suggestions on who to honor
points. We might have to.
I got a few. I got a list, actually. I have binders of people that he should award brownie points to. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, coming up in the third and final hour of the show. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes to you from One Bills Drive. Head coach Sean McDermott met with the media just about an hour ago and talked about the Bills getting set to play against a Carolina cornerback, E.J. Gaines, with a shoulder bruise. No word on his availability for Sunday. McDermott said he was pleased with a number of things, had a long list of things he also wants to correct as the Bills get set for that game. Players on hand here at One Bills Drive for film review and some conditioning work after the victory over the Jets. Next up, road game for McDermott's Bills, a trip to Carolina to play the Panthers in Charlotte this Sunday. Cam Newton threw two touchdown passes for the Panthers yesterday in their 23-3 win out west in San Francisco. Carolina defense shut down Kyle Shanahan's offense in his coaching debut. Newton threw a 40-yard touchdown pass in the first half and then a 9-yard touchdown pass, and yet his coach Ron Rivera says that he was a little bit rusty as Newton was off target on numerous throws following missing preseason time from surgery to repair a shoulder issue. Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby, the former Buffalo Bills, going to miss 4 to 6 weeks at least. Carted off the field during their win over Washington with a dislocated right ankle. The Eagles traded Jordan Matthews and a draft pick to the Bills to get Darby's services back in August. The Houston Texans say they're ready to go with Deshaun Watson at quarterback if they have to, and they may do that. Tom Savage replaced by Watson in the second half of their blowoff loss to Jacksonville yesterday. Texans may be on the verge of making that switch permanent. The NFL continues tonight with a couple of games, a Monday night doubleheader. The first one, 7:10 p.m., the New Orleans Saints playing at Minnesota against the Vikings. The Saints led the NFL in total offense, ranked first in total net yards last year. Last year, the Vikings started the season 5-0, looking for a fast start this year as well. The late game tonight at 10:20 p.m. Eastern time, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Chargers franchise in Los Angeles now, first time since 1960, Los Angeles Chargers on the road at Denver, 10:20 tonight, that also on ESPN with Rex Ryan on the color commentary of that game. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and joined by Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on this Victory Monday. Congratulations, Chris, and congratulations on the victory yesterday.
What?
We all share.
Well, you know, I respect what Coach McDermott's saying it's an entire building victory, but, I mean,
I know.
Outside of covering this thing, I mean.
I feel the same way.
It's the players and the coaches.
It's the players, especially the players.
Yeah.
And even McDermott mentioned that, I thought, an hour ago when somebody asked him how did it feel to get that first victory, and he said, you know, I didn't do anything today. Now, he did clearly do stuff, you know, during the course of the week, but there was an element, I think, a grain of truth there, and I think smart coaches realize that. When, by the time they kick off at 1 o'clock on Sunday,
Players got to make
plays. Players got to make the plays.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, look, I can put you in the right positions, and we might make certain calls to put you in better positions, but you still have to make plays, you know. So it's always a good thing when a coach will give credit to his players because, you know, you have some coaches that won't.
Yeah.
Won't.
There are coaches who will assign blame to players too. Like, yeah. Well, I can't make the plays. I can't make the tackles. Those are the coaches that I'm sure drive players nuts, right?
They drive them nuts. On the college ranks, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you see it all the time, you know. So I think up here, coaches have a little bit better understanding, but you still have some coaches that will take all the credit and then put the blame somewhere else.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, in studio with us. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A lot went well yesterday, Chris. Through our Twitter poll today, we're trying to isolate what was the best thing the Bills did yesterday. And take a look at our Twitter poll or listen to this. Our Twitter poll, what did you like the most from the Bills' win over the Jets? And it's pretty evenly distributed. 36% of respondents so far say they like the contributions from the new players, the safeties, Mike Tolbert, maybe Jordan Matthews they have in mind. Maybe, you know, they've got somebody else in mind. 34% say the way the Bills stopped the run from the Jets. 34% say they like that the best. 23%, which I think is a little bit low, but 23% say they like the run offense for the Bills best of all, LeSean McCoy and the offensive line. 7% had something else in mind. What did you like most when the Bills went over the Jets? Give us a call at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What did you like best about that Buffalo victory yesterday, Chris?
Run defense. I mean, I kind of had that as my key to the game. I felt that the Bills' run defense had to be better than the Jets' run defense, which, you know, I think it gets lost in all of the player turnover that the Jets have undergone through the course of the offseason. It's still a pretty darn good run D, especially up front. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit of a lesser team at the second level than they've been in the past. You know, the cut of David Harris as a salary cap casualty is probably the most notable among the losses at the second level there defensively for the Jets. But they still got first-round picks up front. You know, all pro caliber guys in Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson, and I think Steve McClendon is an underrated player whose value is enhanced by having those two guys on either side of him. So with that in mind, I was, you know, and let's not forget, the last 2 years, it's been tough sledding running against that team.
Yeah.
You know, they put an eight-man box in there, and even Shady was having trouble with them. But I think, like I was saying in the pregame show yesterday on the radio, they just got to get Shady to the second level. If they can get him to the second level in this game, he'll be fine. He'll make somebody miss and get the necessary yards to kind of keep the chains moving. And that's kind of what happened. I really felt that the Jets defense was keying on the stretch game and because they know they're very fast laterally. They've got speed players at linebacker, not stand-up, stack-and-shed guys. You know, Darren Lee's a running linebacker. He's not a guy that's going to stand in there and grind, shed, and then make a play. So I think they almost liked it when the Bills tried to run outside, use the stretch game. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they kind of countered off that a little bit better, used Tyrod in some key situations when they weren't respecting the backside edge, you know, and ran some read option that way. So, you know, but the run defense for the Bills is what did it for me. As we said going into the season, it was the most consistent aspect of this team in the preseason, and it followed suit here in the regular season. And you got to hope it continues because with the way they want to win football games, it's by being dedicated to a ground attack on offense and stopping the other team's running attack on defense. And if they can do that, not have any big gaffes in special teams, you know, either hold serve in terms of the field position in that phase of the game or win field position, you know, and your kicker does his job, they should be okay, you know, in terms of staying in most games. I mean, I don't see them running away from teams in games this year, and I don't see them getting blown out by teams in too many cases this year, with maybe a couple of exceptions, the elite of the elite in the league. But if they can play run D like that, they're going to stay in games.
I take you back, Chris, to the Buffalo rushing offense for a minute here. And I get the matchup part. Yeah, the Jets were historically been tough to run on for this Bills team. But beyond the matchup, I like the way the Buffalo run offense looked yesterday with the new scheme, with the zone blocking scheme up front. as I went back and looked at the video this morning, I saw several instances where it was Tolbert and Shady McCoy who knew exactly where to go, exactly, you know, kind of reading where the holes were going to open up as the offensive line flowed from one way or the other. And I thought that's a good sign, I mean, at this early stage of the season, that both those guys, experienced guys, are obviously comfortable running behind this offensive line. The holes were there, but they found them too. And in this offense, I think that was important, especially first game out.
Well, I think McCoy has run in a system pretty similar to this from his days in Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, some of his most successful, most productive seasons came in a very similar scheme to the one he's back in now. So I think it was like getting back on a bike for him. For Mike Tolbert, you know, and I like Tolbert, don't get me wrong, I think he can be a valuable piece to the running game this year. There were a couple of stretch plays where I was like, man, I wish he picked the first hole and didn't wait for the second one or the third one. You want that guy getting north-south as quickly as possible because when it's a race to the corner, he's not winning too many of those races. So pick the first hole, the second hole at the latest, and get upfield because once he's going north-south, he is a bear, man. Yeah. I mean, but when he's going laterally, that's when the defense has the advantage.
That's what they want from Tolbert. They want to stretch him laterally because they know he's not going to outrun people to the edge and turn the corner on you, you know. So that guy does need to go north and south and lower his shoulder and get those yards, you know. But I think, you know, that offensive line did do a good job yesterday of opening up holes. And one of the things that I love to see, especially with this scheme, is when you get the backside, when everybody's going towards the right and the backside will cut block and they both get those guys to the ground and you see that hole open up. That is like a beautiful thing for this scheme, you know, and Tolbert and Shady both, when they see it, they hit it and they go north and south, and that's when you see big runs.
Chris, your thoughts on Shady's workload yesterday? 70% of the offensive plays he was in on, what did we say, 29 touches did he have, something like that?
27, I think.
27? What do you think?
It's one game. Let's see where it goes from here. Do I think he's going to have more than he had last year? Yes. Is it going to be significantly more? I'm not convinced of that yet. Let's see. Let's give it a few games and let it kind of average out. He was around 18 and a half, 19 touches a game last year, or carries, I should say. 18 and a half to 19 carries a game last year, about 22 touches a game total between rushing and receiving. He'll probably be somewhere closer to 25 probably this year. That's probably where he'll settle in. And I don't think that's such a dramatic step up that he won't be able to handle it. Again, as he says all the time, he's not a guy that takes those monster shots. You watch Adrian Peterson run the football.
Tonight.
I mean, he gets creamed sometimes. I mean, he's not afraid to shy away from a hit either, but those things take their toll. And, you know, that's why he's running second fiddle to Mark Ingram in New Orleans now because, you know, the years of being the man and taking those monster hits. Now, he's also a giant human being at 6'3". And about 230 pounds.
Right.
So you would say, okay, he can take a little bit more of that. But all those hits take a toll no matter how big a guy you are. McCoy doesn't take those. So I don't think the wear and tear is the same for him as it might be for other players. And he said it. He takes care of his body. He ices himself down. He's in the cold tub three times a week. He's a guy that wants to be successful for a lot longer than just this season. And so if he wants that, I think he knows and has come around to learn he's got to take care of his body. He knows he's not a spring chicken anymore. And I think he does the right things to have himself fit for each and every game.
Murph, as we talked about, you know, the new faces to the offense and Tyrod having to get used to these new receivers, they are going to have to lean on Shady and guys like Charles Clay, Nick O'Leary, guys who Tyrod might trust a little bit more. So I would think by the time we get to week, you know, four, five, you might see a little bit less where now they're throwing, not that they're going to throw it a lot more, but now they can spread it out a little bit more and you won't see it always going to Shady as much.
What do you say? Eight different receivers caught passes yesterday,
right? And most of the targets went to Clay and McCoy, but I think that was game plan oriented really because the matchup edge, as the Bills offense saw it, was at the second level with Clay and McCoy as matchup advantages against that linebacker core. I mean, they even brought Jamal Adams up to serve as a linebacker through portions of that game because it was such a bad matchup for the Jets defense at the linebacker level. They said, well, let's get Adams up there to at least help in a coverage situation. He was moving up there in sub packages, pretty much playing a nickel linebacker role to try to help on Clay a little bit. So, you know, Whether that'll be the same advantage the second time they play the Jets, I don't know. And I certainly don't think it's going to be an advantage this week against Carolina, against guys like Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, who can run.
Yeah.
I don't think those matchups will be the same this week, so I don't anticipate Clay getting nearly the amount of catches. Maybe you can hit McCoy on swing passes and stuff like that, but they're going to have to find another avenue to pursue going into this game plan against the Panthers, probably the young corners are going to be what they're going to look to exploit this week. So the test now going into Sunday's game is going to be, let's get the chemistry down with Andre Holmes and with Jordan Matthews, who's still kind of feeling his way with Tyrod with their lack of time on the field together, you know, and make sure we're making some plays outside, because we got to take advantage of the corners this week. Take advantage of those young corners, because the linebackers are all pro caliber.
You've already spun it ahead to Sunday, man.
Well, I got to look ahead all the time.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com in studio with us. Lines open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Dave in Batavia, welcome to the show, Dave. Your comment, your question, go ahead. Dave in Batavia, are you there, Dave?
Took a nap.
Dave? We talked about this.
Hit the snooze button.
Sorry, Dave. Dave's not here. That's what he should have said.
Yeah.
Lines are open, and hopefully you won't fall asleep at the switch like
Browning, what did you think about some of the new faces, in particular on the defensive side, Tre'Davious White?
Yeah, I liked what White did. Probably should have had the one pick there with the ball that hit him in the hands. Probably his best play of the game was on the fade pass in the end zone. Did a good job covering Kearse there. That's a more difficult play than it appeared, I think, to the untrained eye. If you watch it on replay or, you know, just the footwork involved to get there, get in position, and then get the hand up without committing a PI in the end zone, yeah, that's a good play for a rookie cornerback. You know, we've said all along, though, he looks like he belongs. It's not a situation where it looks like the game is too big for him, whoever's across from him is too big for him, although – Kelvin Benjamin might literally be too big for just about everybody this coming week. But a good first outing for him, because he knows he's going to be targeted. Teams are going to test him until he can convince them, you know, you may not want to throw this way. Yeah. You know, that might be the way to go.
Ramon Humber was a standout, I thought, defensively. Huh? I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you.
He played like a house on fire. Yeah. He was great. I mean, I don't know that he's going to have 13 tackles every week, but – yeah, he was around the ball. He just seemed to have a nose for it yesterday. And, you know, you got to credit the guys up front, too, because, you know, especially in the run game, you know, Marcel Darius, Kyle Williams, they're tying up guys. They're keeping linemen from getting to the second level. So Ramon and Preston and Lorenzo can run free, hit, make plays, make tackles. So the guys up front did a nice job of keeping those guys clean, you know, so they could get to the football, which is really what this defense is predicated upon, at least against the run. You know, hats to the ball, you know, run to the football until the play's over. The linebackers were able to do that without having to stack and shed anybody.
One of the plays Humber was in on was the two-point conversion attempt by the New York Jets after the lone touchdown. Does anybody else think that was too early to go for 2 points? I do. I mean,
I know you and I discussed this at the end of the game last night. I kind of understand where Bowles was coming from there. That was their only red zone possession of the game, Murph. That was their first time inside the 20. And
what makes you think you're going to make that play then? You know, take your point and now –
well, I'm on the 2-yard line. I can get 2 points. I don't know if I'm getting down here again. You know, if I tie the game, you know, maybe a field goal can win the game for me. I just got to get close. My kicker's booting it well, you know. Yeah. What do you have, a 52-yarder earlier in the game? So I can see Bowles thinking, if I just get my two here, tie the game, my defense hold. Well, yeah, I get that. But he's probably thinking, this is the last time I'm going to be down here. Let me get two, tie the thing, you know, and then that way a field goal wins me the game. I know a field goal wins him the game anyway, but.
Too early, I think.
I'm not a fan of chasing points either early. I'm not a proponent of that. I'd rather go for it when I absolutely need it, and I know it's going to be my last kick at the cat. I just think he was convinced that with the way their run game, which had already been scrapped for all intents and purposes, they went to a three-step pass game to replace the running game and spread the field with five wide. I think he was just resigned to the fact that we're probably not going to get down here again for the rest of this game with the people I'm putting out there on offense, because this is not looking good. My line can't protect. let's just try to get the two here, and you know maybe a field goal wins it for
because
us.
Because, and again, it played out this way, but the Bills got another touchdown, now up by 9.
Right.
And if, let's face it, and the Bills were not, and we talked about the problems in the 4-minute offense, fourth quarter, a couple of series. If it's a, if it's, you know, instead of a 9-point deficit, if it's, what, it would be a 7-point deficit, or an 8-point deficit, right, if they took the extra point, we'd be sweating bullets, and the Bills would be sweating bullets down the fourth quarter.
No, I don't deny that at all. And Coach McDermott mentioned it in his press conference today. 4-minute offense has to be better. I mean, when you think about it, the defense really saved the offense's bacon by getting the two takeaways late because they had two opportunities to close out the game with the 4-minute offense, and they didn't do it either time. They had to punt both times. And then, you know, because they got the ball back on the Poyer pick, still couldn't kill it, had to punt again, and then, you know, Hyde with the pick at the end to kind of seal the deal finally after the Jets were already out of timeout. So the defense doesn't get two late takeaways due to some good pass pressure up front. it might have been nail-biting time for sure.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. We're talking about yesterday's game, what we liked about yesterday's game. You can ring us up, let us know what you think. Joe at Niagara Falls. Joe, you're on the air with us. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
So this is what I was impressed with yesterday. They finally got to use Stan Clay the way they're supposed to. For 2 years, he sat dormant, and now he's back in. They use him over the middle, and it's a good receiver. I also think this team isn't as bad as everyone's building them up to. I think this team, with this coaching staff, is going to mature and be competitive. I think Chris said the same thing. We're not going to win a lot of games. We're not going to win a ton of games. But I think this team will be very competitive all the way through and not be embarrassed if we really play Atlanta or whatever. But I think they're on the right track, and I like that using Clay. We pay him a lot of money. They're finally starting to use him, I think. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, they have to win games this way. They have to play strong defense. They have to run the ball, you know. And like Chris said earlier, they're not going to run away with the score quite often, you know. And you look at the schedule coming up, you're playing against some good high-octane offenses that are going to score points. So the defense is going to have to play well, very well if they want to win games. And the offense has to stay on the field. They have to run the ball, pick up first downs, stay on the field. And the biggest thing, Chris, is what I want to talk to you about is missed opportunities yesterday, you know, and the interception in the end zone and then the missed field goal. Those are things that you can't do when you're trying to win games like this and you don't have a high power offense that can just score points at will.
Yeah, you almost have to be close to perfection. Now, 3 of 4 in the red zone sounds good today, you know, but you don't get those 7 points, you know, on the touchdown pass attempt to Clay there. And to Tyrod's credit, he put that one on him because there was a little too much zip on the ball, and it was a little bit behind him. He's twisting back to catch the ball over his left shoulder, bounces off his chest pads, and, you know, it goes airborne, and that's never good in the end zone, and it winds up being a pick. You gotta be on the money there. That's where, you know, ball location is critical. And I'm not saying it's easy, especially when you got people pressuring you in the pocket. But still in all, those are the plays that have to be made. And when they're not, you know, it reduces the margin for error. And this is a team, you know, in year one under McDermott, with the talent that they have in terms of depth, caliber, you know, you cannot – there's not a lot of margin for error there. So when you miss on those opportunities, you reduce it even further. And if you do that – we know in this league where almost 3/4 of the games are decided by 7 points or less, that's not a margin you want to be trifling with if you're the Bills. So, you know, it's a situation going into a game, for example, against Carolina, where if you leave 10 points on the board, you're probably not winning the game. You're playing a much higher caliber of team in the Panthers this week than you were in the Jets on Sunday.
Hauschka's miss was tough to watch. It was a snap
hook. It looked
hook.
Like the hand of God pushed it to the side the last the last 15 yards.
Like a curveball.
Yeah,
it was
split finger sideways or something.
Was it windy in the stadium? I wasn't there.
It was windy above the bowl, but the streamers on the top of the uprights were not moving at all at either end. It was kind of bizarre because usually that wind comes over the west end of the stadium and swoops down in, and sometimes can act as a wall at that end.
Right.
But Hauschka was kicking at the other end of the field. I didn't like the flight of the ball at all. It was kind of wobbling, you know, at like a 20 or 25 degree angle there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fly right when it's doing that. You want it end over end, vertical.
Right.
You know, you want to kick it that way. I watched it back. The snap looked good to me. Schmidt got it down fine. He just mishit it.
Yeah. He just
put too much English on it.
Here's a call from Jimmy in Hamburg. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Afternoon. First, I want to say, you know, I thought it was a great win, team win. You know, any way you get a win, it's a win. But I wanted to touch on what Chris was talking about just a couple minutes ago about the four-minute offense. To me, that was the only thing that scared me watching this game, is the predictability of, you know, constantly handing the ball off. Why do coaches think that you can't pass the ball doing short passes and use just as much time you do running? Why is that?
Because sometimes they fall incomplete.
And then that stops the clock.
Okay, but, you know, short passes. I'm not talking bombs. I'm talking.
They go incomplete, too, once in a while.
You know, I think because it's the first game of the season.
Do it all, you know, run every play. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Jimmy. I just do think, though, because it's the first game of the season, I think this is across the league. Coaches are still trying to get used to what personnel they have and who can do what.
And I think the most important thing here is you have to remember how most NFL coaches think when they have the lead, it's late in the game, just inherently they're going to be conservative. And the safest play in four-minute offense is a running play, because even if it loses 2 yards, the clock is still running.
Yeah.
You care more about the clock than you do about the productivity of the play in terms of yards gained. You're trying to bleed clock more than anything else. So if you have a failed run play and it's minus 2 yards, you're still eating up 30 seconds, or you're forcing the other team to burn a timeout.
Right.
You have a 4-yard pass and it goes incomplete because somebody gets hit in the back as he's trying to catch it. Now the clock stopped. Advantage defense. So on every single play, you're trying to create the edge for your team. Most coaches decide to go run for that very reason. And with a team that led the league in rushing the last 2 years, has the same offensive line across the board, you've got to put faith in that group that they're going to be productive for you and kill the clock. And that's why Coach McDermott had it at the top of his list today of things that have to get better. For a team that leads the league in rushing, you better darn well be good enough to run out the last 4 minutes of the game when you have a 9-point lead. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a lot of that getting repped on the practice field this week. I don't know how effective you can be in doing that, but in terms of executing your blocking assignments and picking the right holes, you better believe that's going to be repped this week on the practice field, because when you have a 9-point lead like that, if you have it against a quality team like Carolina or let's just say Atlanta in 3 weeks,
they can score.
You want to put that game away, because now you've got upset on your mind. If you can't, you're not going to win those games. You're just not. It's important. It's an important aspect of winning football games, the four-minute drill. If you can have that in your back pocket every week, and you should as the number one rushing team in the league, you can win more games than a lot of people think you can.
Here's the thing. Most games, you're not going to blow teams out. Like, most games are within, I guess, 8 to 10 points, 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, so 7 or 8,
Yeah, so you have to be able to close games out in the four-minute offense, or – you will lose. And the quarterbacks in this league, the receivers, they are just too good. And they can, if you give them the ball back with any time left on the clock, they will take the team down the field and score.
I mean, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, I mean, these are guys you're going to, Phillip Rivers, these are guys you're going to be facing later in the year. Brady. You got to get this 4-minute offense nailed down. Because if you're fortunate enough to be ahead on the scoreboard in those games, you better kill the last 5 minutes in total. Don't give them 50 seconds, don't give them 40 seconds, because they're just too good. Mm-hmm. They're too good, and they will make you pay. They got to get that fixed before they start facing some of those better QBs in the league.
Four-minute offense, as Chris said, nearer at the top of the list. Chris asked the question for Coach McDermott about the list of things that he wants to improve. He asked the question about an hour ago at the news conference here, and here's what McDermott had to say.
I would start off, really, Chris, with missed opportunities in the first half. When you looked at yardage-wise, at least in the first half, you know, offense versus defense, and we had opportunities to put points on the board in the first half, which we didn't capitalize on, which we have to and will do going forward. And then penalties, changing the field position on special teams. We were having to change a possession in one particular situation with punt return, and we had a costly penalty on us, and that changed field position. And then finally, I would say just at the top of my mind right now of the long list is four-minute offense. As well as we played at times offensively, I thought we could have finished the game off in a more commanding, if you will, approach offensively, and we didn't get that done. So a long list of things to get better at.
It's one of the things you like about Sean McDermott, you know. I mean, he's not certainly not giddy about his first NFL victory. In fact, you would imagine that most of his focus today is on that list of things to get better at.
Well, and I like the fact that he jots them down live as they're happening during the game. That's what a head coach should be doing. You leave your coordinators to themselves. Let them worry about the offense, defense, and special teams. You're taking notes as to where you see either deficiencies or something maybe you really, really like. That is a fantastic play that we just ran there, and we executed it well. You know, let me jot that play down because we may want to turn to that play when we really need one in a critical situation later on in the season. I mean, these are things that they're jotting down. Obviously, you know, you've got the to-do list first and foremost because you want to fix the things you're deficient at. But there's also things, you know, in the plus side of the ledger that he's jotting down too. And then when he watches film, whether it's Sunday night or Monday morning, he's got his list sitting there, and he may refer to it or he may add to it based on what he sees on tape, or he may cross something out and say, you know what, live, it didn't look the same as it does on tape. We're okay there. Mm-hmm. Let me cross that out. We don't have to worry about that. So I just like his process in terms of jotting things down live as he sees them and then reviewing them with the game tape in front of him.
Chris, last thing for me, I can't say that I'm surprised at the outcome yesterday. This is big picture, or surprised at some of the things the Bills did well, because we saw them play good defense in preseason. Yeah. I was surprised maybe 3 weeks ago when I saw how lights out that defense could be. I think the offense was fairly similar production-wise to what we saw last year. My opinion of their prospects, my opinion of how they are, hasn't changed much based on yesterday, and we all know who they played against. They will be more tougher opponents down the stretch, but it is a good start. There's nothing left to be said. There's a lot left to be said, but nothing maybe more resonates more than the fact that it was a really good way to start this season.
Right, and I like the balance. There was yardage-wise, if you look at it on offense, it was pretty balanced. It was 190 and I think 230 or something. Mm-hmm. For over 400 yards of offense, that's a good balance for a Bills team that usually didn't have that balance each of the past 2 years. If you think about some of the balls that got punched out on a couple of catches, one by Clay and another one got punched out by a Jets defender, you know, you add up a couple of those receptions, now suddenly Tyrod's in the 250 to 260 yard category, and that's a good place for him to be to keep defenses honest every week. They're not keying so much on the run game that you can't get anything done there, and then you're forced to rely on the passing game. If he can stay somewhere between 225 and 260 every week, that's going to be enough to force defenses to say, all right, hold up. We can't just put eight in the box every single play, you know, that's not an obvious passing down. You know, we got to watch for this or look for that. He's already got defenses honest with that backside boot, which was wide open yesterday. Mm-hmm. And teams will be keying and preparing for that in the weeks to come based on how silly the Jets looked on a couple of those plays. But if he can force defenses to account for his passing acumen, as long as he can keep taking steps there, you can really have an attractive balance on offense that will only serve this team going forward.
No, you got brownie points coming up on the website, right, on BuffaloBills.com?
Tomorrow morning, yeah.
Tomorrow morning, and you're looking for, what, under-the-radar contributors to the Buffalo victory? Is that what?
Yeah, plays that kind of go unrecognized, plays turned in by guys that might not get the credit. Obviously, Jordan Poyer is going to get credit for a big interception at the end of the game. Same with Micah Hyde. You know, Ramon Humber's pick in the end zone to foil the two-point conversion. But there's other plays within the course of the game that were pretty impactful that may have forced a punt, may have gotten a key first down on a second effort. Mm-hmm. Those are things we're looking for in brownie points. So they can hit me up on Twitter at Chris Brown Bills, little hashtag brownie points for their nominees, And we'll get them up tomorrow morning on the website.
Can I throw two at you?
Throw two at me.
And you mentioned it. You already referenced it. I know you saw this. But the pressure on both of those interceptions, mm-hmm. pretty incredible. And there was a stunt on at least one of them, maybe two of them. I have a feeling that Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander, their leadership and experience contributed to, well, I know they did, to both of those picks.
Right.
And if, when you look at the tape, you see that. The other one is, can a coach get a brownie point? I think Rick Dennison did a great job, especially in red zone play calling. When you look at the Charles Clay touchdown, they moved Shady out wide to the right side. The Jets were in a tough spot trying to cover Shady and Charles Clay on that side, let alone the guys on the other side.
Right.
And, of course, the Andre Holmes touchdown, I mean, which is great misdirection. Holmes was virtually uncovered. I give Rick Dennison some brownie points.
Good job for coach, but it's only players. Sorry.
Oh. Maybe I should do my own.
He did do a good job, though.
He should do his own.
Thanks, Chris. Look for brownie points tomorrow on the website.
Murphy's merits.
Yeah, yeah. And then we can do demerits when there's loss. Brownie points coming up on BuffaloBills.com tomorrow morning from Chris Brown, Bills Insider at Bills.com. When we return, we will look back at some of the highlights and listen back to some of the radio calls of yesterday's win over the Jets. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NEPA Auto Parts. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
What did you like about yesterday's Bills win? We're going to listen and see some of the highlights from that game in a moment. In the meantime, let's get your thoughts on the game and what you liked. Edric from New Jersey. Hello, Edric. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John. How you doing? Hey, Donald.
What's up? Hey, what part of New Jersey are you calling from?
I'm from Kearney, New Jersey.
Oh, Kearney. Okay.
You were from Plainfield, right? So no, I don't think you ever came to these parts.
Oh, yeah, I did, too. We played Kearney every year.
Did you really?
Yes, we did. We beat up on them kind of bad, but, you know, I just had to throw that out there for you.
Hey, Don, I played there in 2006. I played from 2002 to 2006 in high school. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know when you graduated high school, but maybe our paths crossed.
Yeah, I was in high school from 2002 to 2006. So, yeah.
Hey, our paths might have crossed because I do remember plenty of beatings from Plainfield. But my our last 2 years, we switched divisions, and we started going against a little weaker competition.
yeah. All right. Well, what's up, man? What you got for us?
You know, I want to start off the things I liked and then a few things I didn't like. Not much not to like, to be honest with you. I think the score didn't show just how much we dominated the game. And I think if you look around the NFL, not many teams scored many points unless you were the Rams going against the Colts. But they got three defensive touchdowns, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Steelers scored 21 points. So I think it was right about on par. You know, you got to get used to the new season and, you know, tie rods to the new wide receivers. Another thing I liked, which might not have been noticed by a lot, I think Lorenzo Alexander, and I love Lorenzo, he played about 25 snaps. And I think maybe five or eight of them were as a defensive lineman. And I think that's where he belongs, really. I think if Lorenzo is out there playing 40 snaps at linebacker, we're going to be in trouble, to be honest with you. And, again, I love Lorenzo. He's a great football player and a great teammate, he looks like. One thing I didn't dislike, Marcel's got to play a lot more snaps. You know, unless he was getting through that injury or he's just quite not in shape yet, he needs to get more snaps. That's one. And two, we've got to get Richie pulling. You've got to get Richie in space going against those linebackers because, man, Richie is a pancake monster. IHOP.
Yeah.
He does.
All right, Edric, thanks. We got to move along. You know, Richie, like this offense does not look like it's set up to have guards pulling Richie and Kanye pulling, even though we're accustomed to seeing that over the last few years.
He can't pull because you have so much flow with the rest of the offensive line. So it's like, is he pulling all the way around all of that flow? It doesn't work, you know. So it's a totally different scheme. Now you just have everybody flowing, you know, and that's what we have to get used to.
Thanks for your call, Edric. Time now for a look back at the game as we listen to some of the radio calls and watch some of the highlights. It is Game Rewind, presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. First quarter, the Bills got the opening kickoff and started to drive. They took a holding penalty on Richie Incognito, so they had a second and 20 from their own 31-yard line, and then things got pretty interesting in this game.
Shotgun snap. Taylor takes, looks downfield, fires short, caught by McCoy. Dodges one man, cuts to his left at the 35, cuts upfield at the 40. Now he's up near the 45, getting to midfield, got the first down, and he's out of bounds. Tyrod looks right, now looks left, now going to keep it on the run. He's got the 20 at the 15, heads to the sideline, out of bounds at the 14-yard line. That's a first down, a 10-yard scramble for T-Mobile, and the Bills' drive stays alive. The snap, Taylor going to throw it. Looks downfield, waits, fires into the end zone. Oh, and is intercepted, picked off in the end zone by the Jets. Coming back the other way is Justin Burris, and he is finally brought down. Knocked down at about the 42-yard line. So the Bills' first drive ends with the turnover. The game still scoreless as we get to the second quarter, and Buffalo starts to move the football again. They will run McCoy, and he finds room around the left side, has the first down, crosses over into Jets territory inside the 40, wrestled out of bounds at the New York Jets 34-yard line. A 22-yard pickup. Tyrod takes from under center, gives it to Tolbert, finds a lane up the middle inside the 15, inside the 10, and dropped at the 8-yard line. He is brought down by Terrence Brooks, another first down. The Tolldozer is up and running. Taylor, the snap, looks to the end zone, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown! Touchdown! It is Charles Clay in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! 7-0, Buffalo on top. And the Jets respond with a scoring drive of their own in the second quarter. Play action fake. He's in trouble. He is sacked. He is dropped back at the 48-yard line. Jordan Poyer came unblocked, and McCown never saw him. 48 yards from the middle of the field. The snap. The kick is on the way. It looks long enough, and it is good. 48 yards from Canton Zero. And the Jets get on the scoreboard. Later in the second quarter, Catanzaro would hit another field goal, this one 52 yards. And at 7-6, the Bills on top, headed to the second half. Buffalo's second possession of the second half starts at their own 36-yard line. They're 2nd and 10 from their own 36. Tyrod sets up deep, fires down the middle, caught by Jordan Matthews. Out near midfield, on the run now, got a blocker in front of him. At the Jets 40, at the Jets 30. Nick O'Leary in front of him, and he is cut down at the 15-yard line. Big play there. Tyrod Taylor over the middle again. 49 yards, catch and run with Jordan Matthews. Tyrod takes the shotgun snap. Pressured, steps up, still looking, still looking, still looking. Now he's got a run at the 10. Tyrod at the 5, headed to the pylon. And he is out of bounds at the 2-yard line. That is enough for a first down. First and goal from the 2. Tyrod going to throw it. Fires it short. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Andre Holmes. Holmes to the house. Touchdown, Buffalo. Bills with an 8-point lead now, 14-6. The Jets come back, though, driving down the field and finally hit the end zone late in the third quarter. McCown on the quarterback keeper, driving up the middle, and he dives into the end zone. No signal yet. Touchdown. There it is. Touchdown, Jets. Josh McCown keeps it himself. Quick snap, rolling right. McCown going to throw it into the end zone. It is intercepted by Ramon Humber. He gets banged around. A flag goes down on the play also. It's 14-12. The Bills on top as we head to the fourth quarter. Buffalo with a second down at the Jets' 26-yard line. Tyrod, nice play fake. Rolls left, fires short. Caught by O'Leary at the 15, at the 10. O'Leary at the 5. Trying to get to the pylon. Is he in? They roll him what?
Stepped out of bounds.
Stepped out of bounds. Second and goal from the 1. Taylor under center. Turns and hands it off to the Tolldozer. Driving into the end zone. Touchdown. Mike Tolbert. Touchdown, Buffalo. A 9-point Bills lead midway through the fourth quarter, but it takes a couple of Bills interceptions to end the Jets' threat. Crowd roaring. Here's the snap. Bills rush forward. McCown's in trouble. Jerry Hughes almost has him. He gets the pass away, and it is intercepted down at the 23-yard line. It is picked up. A jump ball down the far sideline. Jordan Poyer came over there. He came up with it. McCown takes the snap. Looks to his left, looking for Curse. Locked on Curse. Fires to Curse. Intercepted. Picked off by the Bills. It is Micah Hyde, and he goes down at the Jets' 26-yard line. That'll do it. Stick a fork in it. This one is over. The Bills get the interception from Micah Hyde to close the deal.
That's Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Those interceptions, huge. We talked about how they failed in the 4-minute offense to end the game, but, boy, there's nothing like a takeaway to
Yeah, when your defense can steal the game for you,
yeah.
You know, and by having interceptions later in the second half and things like that, that is a great thing. The defense played well yesterday, and they are going to have to play like that moving forward. They are going to have to play, the defense in particular will have to play good. The offense needs to play better in certain situations. You can't leave points on the game. You got to be better at forming an offense, but the defense has to continue to take the ball away, especially in big situations like that.
Got time to wrap things up when we return. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Just a couple of minutes left in the show following the Bills' win over the New York Jets. A call here from Tony. Tony, what's on your mind today? Go ahead. Hello, Tony, are you there? Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's on your mind today, Tony?
Sir, a question and a comment. Thank you for taking my call, John.
Sure.
First comment. Your next contract needs to have a provision that every single game highlight shown on BuffaloBills.com needs to have your commentating over it, because those broadcast commentators are no good.
Can you repeat that? What did he say?
He said your next contract needs to have your voice over it. So every play that we show, like we just had the plays that we played.
All the game highlights needs to have John's voice, because those broadcast commentators on those clips.
Oh, the network guys. Okay. All right. Thanks, Tony. They're doing, you know.
They're way better.
Oh, thanks, Tony. I got to cut you off because we're almost out of time. They're doing a different job.
I think he just liked your voice.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. They're doing a different job, the network guys. Kevin Harlan is serving probably a pretty sizable audience in New York yesterday. So thanks for that. I'm sorry we don't have more time for you to shower me with more compliments. Donald, you got this week ends for you. We only have a couple of seconds left.
This week ends for me?
Yes, today. No, Friday it ends for you. 4 days
you were
away.
Telling me something I didn't know.
No,
sorry
4 days
that.
Away. The first of your Western New York High School football games with Chris Brown. We should have talked with Chris about that when he was here. It's Aquinas and St. Joe's Friday night, 7:00. Here at New Era Field, you and Chris will have the call on MSG. That's going to be pretty fun.
It's a big show. Big show.
It's going to be a big game. It's presented by Dent Concussion Center. You got to be pumped about
it. It's about us. It's not about the game. It's about Chris and I calling the game together.
We'll have a talk about that. We'll have a discussion about that coming up. So I'm giving you an opportunity to say how excited you are about this.
No, I'm excited about the game. I'm excited to call the game with Chris. From what I understand, his energy is crazy for games. And when he's calling games, so it'll be exciting. Maybe I'll get to be Kelso in the booth and make plays happen with my hands, you know, like Kelso
yeah,
does.
Direct traffic.
Yeah.
Here at One Bills Drive today, the news of the day, cornerback E.J. Gaines with a shoulder bruise. No word on his availability for Sunday. Big show tomorrow. Tyrod Taylor scheduled to join us at 12:30. Steve Tasker will be in studio with us at 1 o'clock. So come on back tomorrow starting from 12 noon till 3 p.m. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our intercom board op today, Ryan Gates. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, and Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. Tomorrow, 12 noon, be here for the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.